Blog Talk Radio. Aaron, are you there?
I am. Shabbat Shalom. Sorry, you were breaking up really bad. I think it's just because you're driving.
Sorry about that.
It happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're over in New Mexico or in Mexico? I didn't get that.
Yes, I'm in New Mexico.
New Mexico. Gotcha.
Yes. I'm going to bring some others on, and hopefully you guys can fellowship, and maybe since I'm not coming through real clear yet, I will hang tight and come back on when I'm closer to the flatland. Okay?
Sounds good. Okay.
Let's see who else we have here. Area code 210, you are on air.
Blake.
Shabbat
yeah.
Shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Hi.
Hi, Blake.
Shalom, Blake.
Shalom. Shalom.
And let me get 818 on. 310 dropped off. Maybe they'll call back. And 818, you are on the air. I think that's a Hawaii number, isn't it?
Sounds like it.
Thank you.
I know Alex wanted to join us today, but probably not going to be able to. Unless we can figure out some way to get him through FaceTime.
All right, well, y'all have at it. I'm going to mute.
You're going to mute? No.
Well, I didn't know if I was difficult to hear, so...
Oh, you're not right now.
Oh, okay.
Just right there in the
beginning.
We'll let
you know. How about that?
Chopped up. Yeah, we'll let you know.
So, how's everybody feeling about the whole Facebook? They won't let us post anything now. It's kind of weird. I mean, at least me.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of.
I guess they find a couple of things, they'll start watching your account or something, or.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
So what's going on?
I got
on?
A couple
of
warnings, too.
Board, is this
the
happening
what?
To
I don't
just
know.
One of you, or is this everybody? I haven't had service in a week, so I have no idea what's going on.
Mm. I mean, I saw Aaron get blocked or banned or whatever for a little while, and then I was making a joke. Maybe I just spoke it over myself, but I said I'd never been banned. I post a lot of stuff, and then next thing you know, I'm freaking banned. So I was like, oh, well, maybe they're just cracking down. Or I heard some about Biden doing something about Facebook, conspiracy theorists or something, so I don't know.
Yeah, conspiracy theorists. We're all a bunch of conspiracy theorists, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're all crazy.
My goodness. Yeah, I got banned for 3 days for, I think I shared that video with you guys on Messenger there. And it was just about the real facts, the real statistics that are being talked about by the doctors that are not on the take by the U.S. government and their governments. And how about 45,000 people now worldwide are dead because of the vaccination?
Yep.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I don't mean to call it vaccination. They do. I'm just kind of parroting what they have said. Yep. We know it's not a vaccine.
Well, shoot, even the regular vaccines are not even good. So just they're all the same. I mean, not to this level, but yeah. What boggles my mind is a lot of people don't understand the bioweapon, or we're at war right now. I mean, humanity is, and they don't even know it. Everybody's just walking around like everything's normal, but they're attacking people through the water, the air. I bought some sheets. My wife thought I was a nutcase. The sheets had more gelatin all over it, and I didn't wash them before I put them on the bed. And I started itching, and I take, because I do metal detox, and it's like they were after me, and she didn't believe me until I had one stuck between my fingernail, and I had to yank it out. It was burrowing through my fingernail, and I said, babe, this is a nanotechnology. So that all the metals are trying to change the DNA and make people be emotional, and that's why you see all these people shooting people and lawlessness rising, because that all the stuff that they're using on humanity is bad, not just the mask and the vaccine. There's way more to it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's not just the lithium metals that affect us mentally. It's all of them do.
Yep.
And compounded even makes it worse.
Yeah, and that video you shared with me, that video, I can't lie. I saw Flat Earth and I clicked on it and I was like, I'm not going to watch this. And I skipped it. And then a brother that I talked to, just you and him, basically, he sent me the same dang video. I didn't know it was. And he said, you got to see this. And once I watched it, I sent it back to you. You're like, I already sent you that video 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, ah, crap. So I feel like I feel like people that need truth, that filled in the puzzle pieces for my walk. It took me to another level. I just can't even explain it. So.
Right.
But thank you.
I understand.
Hallelujah.
You're welcome.
Yahoo.
Hallelujah. Yeah. There's a lot of puzzle pieces being brought out to the forefront now. A lot of puzzle pieces that have been hidden from us. And instead they put their lies in the places and tried to make them fit. And it's backfiring on them. And I really believe Father's set apart spirit is moving. I mean, it always has, but I mean in
absolutely
these last days. You know, things are coming to the forefront that they can't hide. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's being poured out, and there's people that, you know, I one thing that I'm having trouble with, I don't know about y'all, but it's, you can tell somebody something and they won't even do the research. They won't even consider it. And then they'll start sending you scripture. And I understand we have to go by scripture, but then I look at the, everybody in the scriptures didn't have really a book to go by. They were led by the Spirit. And I try to tell people this. I'm like, look, just because you know the Bible front to back, it doesn't mean you're walking in truth. I mean, I had a buddy that OD'd and he read the Bible 100 times. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not going to help you, but if you're not willing to walk in truth or willing to consider everything that's placed in front of you, then I don't believe that maybe there's a harden of heart or just, you know, there's so many different opinions or truth behind opinions, or I don't know what opinions mean anymore, but basically if you present somebody truth and they've never heard it, they just automatically say, nah. And I'm dealing with that with people, random people I meet on the streets. It's like he'll put me there, right place, right time, and then they're under an apostle and they can't talk about this or that. And I'm like, well, do you believe in the Ten Commandments? You're breaking one of them. Guaranteed you don't know his name. And they just, well, the Lord, G-O-D, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I messed up because I told one guy that tithing's been done away with, and it kind of has. It's more from your heart. And then in technically it's like 20%. So I don't know anybody personally that gives 20% of their income. So I don't know. Does anybody have any answer on tithing? Because I couldn't.
Well,
get a, I didn't want to go through Paul's.
Money in the first place, was it?
Correct. Okay.
The fruits of your labor and, you know, like whatever it was that you did,
mm-hmm.
a tenth of that went to, wasn't it the Levite tribe or the priestly tribe?
Yeah. The Levites did not inherit any land.
My understanding is
land.
Not many.
Right. The only time it was exchanged for some kind of monetary system was when you were traveling from afar to Jerusalem. Instead of bringing all, you know, a tenth of your field or a tenth of your herds or a tenth of whatever it was because you were a landowner, you had inherited land where the 12th tribe, the Levites, did not inherit any land. But the tithe was only supposed to be for the landowners. They would tithe the 10% of what they got yielded from their land, whether it be their flocks or mm-hmm. harvests or whatever the kind of business that they were in. And then they would bring that and share that and give that, bring it into the storehouse as well as share it during the feast days. It was all shared together. Yeah, that's important to understand that it was only for landowners. It wasn't for those that worked in the fields or, you know.
Yeah. See, I have some gentlemen that I met downtown, and I had to go do something, and honestly, I felt the Spirit move, and he, you know, he was walking, and I was like, you know, I told him the true names, and then he listened to everything, and then I said, you know, we're under the Melchizedek priesthood, and I pretty much said, hey, like, tithing's been done away with, all that, the animal sacrifices, and he goes, tithing's not been done away with, and that's when he got me, and it's like, everything I said is out the window, and he started sending me Pauline letters. And where Paul says,
yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I was like, if you're going to put your whole, you know, your whole salvation on Paul's letters or that he may have not even wrote, and there, a lot of them are not even, you know, verified and stuff. And anyways,
yeah.
I'm like, now he got me on that, and that's all he's hitting me with. And he's like, the L-O-R-D, G-O-D, repentance and Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And I'm like, so which one's which, the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit? Which one do I need to have? I'm curious. I don't know, understand the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. That was one thing.
Both
and,
Catholic terms. Yeah,
I know. That's all.
Father.
Like I told him, I said, which one do I need to have, both or one or the other? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's the Father set apart Spirit. Yusha makes that very clear, especially to the woman at the well there. He says to her
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah. I told
the
him.
Father, the, yeah,
I wasn't making fun of him, but I was asking him a stupid question. Yeah.
I was asking him a stupid question, like, what one do I need now, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit? Let me know. Like, he's like, well, they're the same. And I'm like, oh, okay. That doesn't make, I mean, that right there is a giveaway. I mean, I think when even kids would, so which one's which? I mean, I don't know. Anyways, I may try to bring him on one day, but not yet.
Yeah.
I did have a conversation with the older man that we had on that one day.
Oh,
his name was, Douglas. Yeah, we had like 2 or 3 conversations, and he basically is at the point where he says, okay, fine, that's his name, but I'm still going to, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm just, you know, he watched that 5-hour video, and he said, man, I can't even process all that, but he went through the whole 5 hours.
He did.
So he's almost there. He'll be back.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, he's a great guy. He just, go ahead.
I agree. I like Douglas too. Yeah. He's still sticking with Paul.
Yeah. Still, I mean, it's
still,
hard. I mean,
yeah.
He's been walking for years with the same scriptures. So, I mean, I can't blame him.
Yeah. Preached Paul for almost 40 years of my life, of my walk.
Yeah.
Before I quit going to churchianity and going from one church to the other, and they all had their different takes, and they knew Paul, but the other churches didn't understand Paul the way that they did, and they were special, and they understood Paul, you know, but everybody else didn't. And I keep running across that all the time. The thing is that they don't know who Paul was. They have no idea who Paul was.
Paul Marcion?
Right.
Or whatever. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I still fight with that. I still was fighting with that until we talked. And then I could, because, you know, people use Paul kind of like as leverage almost. They're like, well, he's teaching in mysteries and parables. And then I found I don't know if I showed you that about what spirit they could be operating under. So anyways, it didn't make sense to me until I saw that too. And I'm like, okay, confirmation.
Yeah. It's like the master says, does good fruit come from bad trees? No. It's impossible. He's a liar through and through, and he only uses scripture, and he even botches that up, as we've seen, where he, you know, messed up Psalms there and even twisted the end of that, where he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. I had a good conversation here last Sabbath. We were down at the lake, and there was a lady down there with her kids, and we just started talking. And she's very insistent that none are righteous. There's been none righteous whatsoever. And I, instead of saying, so you're saying that Messiah is a liar, you know, I don't like to come out swinging like that. I'm pretty careful. I just quoted Yahusha, where he says where he's talking to the synagogue of Satan, the Sanhedrin, and he says to them, from the righteous, it's your fault, and you're going to pay for this, and from the righteous blood of Abel to Zechariah, whom you slew between the porch and the altar. There's a lot of righteous people throughout the Torah, the scriptures, that kept the Torah. The mistake is understanding the difference between good and righteous belief is what people are really hung up on.
True.
Knowing the difference. You know? And Yusha says, why do you call me good? There's been none good except Elohim.
That's correct. That's clear.
Yeah, says,
I never, you know, but, I never saw it that way.
Yeah. So they've messed it up in their beliefs in trying to hold on to Paul and keep him as part of the gospel of the kingdom. And he's not. He's at odds with the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom says if you want to enter into the kingdom, you keep the commandments, and we keep the commandments the way Yahusha showed us.
Mm-hmm.
The way he straightened us out, that's he's our kinsman redeemer. He's not our husband. Yeah.
Correct.
I was covering some of those topics, too, with her, with this gal that I met. You know, whether are we the body of Messiah? Yeah, who's when did Messiah say that we are his body? When did the Father even say that, you know, you are my body? He never did. Never did. Never once. The closest we could come is where he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And my Father is the husbandman. My Father is the pruner. He's the gardener, the keeper. And any one of these branches that does not produce fruit is cut off and thrown into a pile to be burned. But there's still the body right there. There's still the vine.
Well, it comes back to the whole eating the cracker thing and the grape juice and all that stuff. I used to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's really... I never repented for doing that. But I used to do that, and I would feel something, but I don't know. Not anymore.
Yeah.
But,
again,
truth is coming out from every which way. Just we can't... What I feel right now in my spirit is we can't be... He can show you things through the littlest things or through the people that you don't even, you know, expect to be shown. And truth is just coming from everywhere. But
use this as an example, yeah.
Anybody have any testimonies or... I guess we won't do that. I gotta get out of the church mentality.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the testimony of Yahusha, not the testimony of Aaron or Blake.
Yeah. I got a car and I got my bills paid off. Yeah. I mean, I think it's okay to tell
awesome.
People, you know, but no, I was making a bad joke. Sorry. I just remember in church, they'd be like, you know, I got the college degree. I'm going to work for the serpent.
Yeah.
Bad joke.
Gonna go get me some Caesar's mammon now. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have the sense of humor.
Caesar's
so
mammon. Well, on the part of tithing, you know, getting back to tithing too, what did Yahusha say? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Render
yes.
unto Elohim what is Elohim's.
Correct.
And he's, you know, and they're trying to trap him with a coin that, you know, is a monetary system of this world.
Yep.
And these people are asking us to tithe 10% of our monetary system to them, which is we're basically of this, you know, the system is of this world, the money that we deal with.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking us to tithe to them what's of the world. To pay their bills, to pay their
correct.
You know, just for them to have a title of pastor and read us scripture, you know, one day a week, whether it's
yeah.
on the Sabbath or on Sin Day, whether it's on Saturn's
Sin
Day.
Day
or Sin Day, Sin's Day, you know.
Yeah,
yeah
just, no, I didn't believe that.
Yeah.
I just felt like, you know, orphans and the widows, for some reason I talked to a lot
exactly.
of widows. And no orphans yet, but widows keep popping in my life. And, you know, I just try to do, you know, a lot of them just want company. They don't need money or anything. They just want to talk about it. And a lot of them know the truth or getting in the truth or trying to. And I feel like,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I can, I mean, I know people say don't give money to the homeless or food, but I think I don't, on my heart, I do when I can. If I see one, I just listen. And if I hear something, I'm gonna do it regardless. And people
right.
can say, well, don't give money to the homeless. And I've given people money over Facebook, and I do it because, honestly, that's just from my heart, even if it's, I mean, certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I have too,
quite often. And I've had it come back and bite me a couple of times, too. And I
yeah,
think what's important is how that, you know, spirit leads you. And yep. The first thing that comes into my mind is James, you know, and how we were commanded to visit the orphans, you know, the fatherless, the widows, the poor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not just poor in money, but poor in spirit.
Spirit.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, poor sure. poor in understand in comprehension. Poor
it's
in
the, my whole, poor
and
my whole view is this. Oh, go ahead.
Before I ever understood about Paul, it really was set strongly in my spirit that it seemed as though the churches were usurping giving to the poor and orphans and widows and
mm-hmm.
that type.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I mean,
so
the church I used to go to.
Drive a Rolls Royce? Like T.D. Jakes?
Well, I went to,
oh,
yeah,
gross,
they
yeah.
had orphans there at the church I went to. That's what kind of can even more confused, right? Because they take in orphans. So imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, woo. But then I seen that video, I'm like, oh, wait. There's an orphan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. the one where they're bringing the orphans from all places around the world and filling up the empty cities.
Yippers.
Wow, isn't that just amazing? What happened to their parents?
That blew my mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're I was 6 months premature so that I could relate. And I'm like, I see those little premature babies. I'm like, nah, something sinister is going on. But
mm-hmm.
still haven't kind of got the answer for that one. That was just one that I guess maybe later on, someday I'll get the answer to what really happened.
Yeah, I think so. It's coming out. It really is. It's been,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty hard. It's hard to hide these lies nowadays. What they've created to use against us has backfired on them in the beginning, but it's turning, as we were talking about Facebook here in the beginning, about them just blocking anybody now. Or they've come back and said to me, oh, this post that you made back in 2017, we didn't agree with. And this post that you made in 2019, we didn't like either. And you said a bunch last in 2020 that we didn't agree with. And now you came up with this one. You're out of service for 3 days. So they go back years to find anything.
Oh, I didn't even know they went back that far. Wow.
Yeah, they've been going back years. For a lot
wow.
of people, just using any excuse they can to shut anybody up.
Hmm.
It's so sad that they are not biased, that they cannot be non-biased.
Well, no, Mark Zuckerberg said that, remember, I don't know if you saw the interview, I had it, I think, on my phone, where he said that they blocked it, of course, but he said that he doesn't trust, or he said he didn't understand the mRNA, that wouldn't be, I forget his exact words, but something about the change in the DNA, he wasn't sure if that would be good or bad, that he had to get more research about it. And then he had to go in front of the Pope or I forget who it was, Dr. Fauci, and actually explain, oh, no, I didn't mean don't get the shot. I had to. It was like, what the heck? So even the owner of Facebook or one of the CEO or whatever.
Wow. Yeah, and he didn't even
I don't know if you saw that video.
Him. No, I didn't yet. No. No. But he didn't even respond to him as a sovereign individual, is he? Like, that's my business. You stay out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead he's more concerned about dealing with the elite's puppets,
yep.
which he is. And his whole past is pretty spotty, from even
mm-hmm.
stealing the algorithms, the base platform from Facebook from his roommate while he was in college.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So I think he's a shill. Just like Einstein.
Bill Gates.
I hate. Well, we know his name. So, and he's up
no,
in the
Bill
spotlight.
Gates didn't even start Microsoft, though. That's the thing. He bought it. He bought
right.
it out from a dude that passing from cancer. And then he took, you know, I posted the, you know,
right.
a year, I don't know how long ago, but yeah. So they're all like, as you, that 5-hour video kind of opens up everybody's eyes. They're all the Trump supporters and everything. By all means, if you want to support Trump, go ahead. But after you watch that video, you'll kind of second guess everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. And again, it was just a missing piece from my puzzle that I had, all the stuff I had. That just kind of put it together. because I was wondering medieval times, what the heck? And then I realized the word medieval, and I'm like, ah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, the Dark Ages.
Pretty much.
The Dark Ages, too. Yeah, nothing happened then. Everybody lived on dirt floors and wore sackcloth, you know. Nothing happened during those thousand years.
Yeah. Enoch 93 is where I'm at. Enoch chapter 93. I believe we're number 10, somewhere around there. We will see. We will see.
What was the
Who
chapter
else is
again?
On here? Enoch 93. I would. You're gonna when you see it. Oh well, like it. Oof, I don't even. Again, I won't even say anything. Just Enoch 9, chapter 93. I think. It's almost at the point if you just had the book of Enoch, you could actually get more truth if you just went through, and not 100, you know, not everything, but it's almost all there. It just
it's very eye-opening. Messiah quoted Enoch over 30 times, and you won't figure that out until you read Enoch. There's definitely 10 that will come right back to your mind. I think there's 15 for sure that should be recalled to people. But that's who he was quoting. When you find out that the Messiah quoted Deuteronomy, he quoted a lot of the scriptures that we have, a lot of the Torah. But when I was growing up, people would say that he quoted Deuteronomy the most. But it wasn't until I read Enoch that I realized that he actually quoted Enoch the most. He was even speaking a little bit of Enoch with Nicodemus in the middle of the night, and when he says to him, are you not a master of all of Israel, and you don't know what I'm saying? They were already removing it back then. They were already getting it out. In fact, in the Council of Jamnia, which never took place, they removed Jasher, Jubilees, Enoch, Second Baruch, as 4th Ezra, or 2nd Esdras, as it's known in the Septuagint. Let me see, what else did they remove? I just tried to get it completely out of the picture. Because
there was
Judas. Really,
I don't know if you've seen that book of Judas or Mary, and there's some other. I don't know how you feel about those. Or the Aramaic Targums.
The book of Mary. Oh, Mary Magdalene?
Yeah.
Not Mary yet. Mary the Virgin.
Nah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, like, everybody, basically what people are saying is, this is the whole thing that I've seen, and I try to bring people out of that religious lies group. I'll go in there and try to give people the truth. And this one guy posted, he said that JC name, how did he have brothers if his mom was a virgin? And I was like, well, I was like trying to look at the timeline, and I'm like, that's a great question. I haven't for sure got an answer on that. But again, Enoch 93 is one of those.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff has been taken out, so we don't have time for everything.
Yeah, and messed with big time. We've seen plenty of additions at the end of chapters. Like I was talking once about chapter 21 of the last chapter of John. But the chapter, the very last verse in the chapter prior to that says that there's many things that could be written of Messiah and his accounts, what he did, that would fill volumes and volumes of books.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of John right there. But then it goes on to talk about, how they all believe that he had risen. They all seen him. And yet here he is with his new body, his immortal body, saying, I'm hungry. And people will, and so he eats some fish. Well, it's funny how he never ate animals during his whole ministry up until that point. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to read this yet, Blake. Maybe I haven't sent it to you. There's two different ones that I'll have to send you. Well, they're not different, but from two different authors, two different publications. But it's the Nazarene Acts of the Apostles. Written by Clement. Oh, okay. Yeah, you'll really like this. It was one of the books, or one of the writings. Actually, it's a series of writings compiled together. That's called also known as the Clementine Homilies, which is all the account of Peter mostly. There's some of James in there because Clement was born a Greek. He went through all the Greek philosophy schools, remained pure, kept himself a virgin. And he was never satisfied with all of the Greek philosophies, wrote Greco-Roman style of philosophy and schooling. He was never satisfied with it. But he hears James, in his travels, he hears James or Yaakov speaking, sharing the gospel. And he'd never heard anybody speak like this and never heard a truth concluded or a subject concluded, where the Greco-Roman banter never really does conclude anything. But he just loved the way James spoke. And he came up to him afterwards and he says, I want to be your understudy. I'm paraphrasing. I want to learn from you. I want you to take me under your wing and teach me everything that you know. And James agrees to this, and he also takes Clement through the steps of purification and mikveh, purification to bring out the repentance of what to repent from, what purifying yourself, cleansing yourself in the baptism, before he's able to come in and actually sit down and dine with James. So there's there's even more understanding of why Peter, for instance, pushed himself away from these table from a table that from eating with guys that he thought had gone through the purification and mikveh process. And these were friends of
Paul.
You know what's
crazy? I don't know why the Catholic Church has. I thought it was Paul, but it's Peter. They claim that they have Peter buried. I thought it was Paul, but I guess it's Peter. Is it Peter or Paul?
Both. They have both under different.
How?
Yeah, they venerate the dead.
But how could they even know that they're the true bodies of? I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make
I'm
sense.
I'm pretty sure that they have Paul. Their religion is based on Paul.
Yeah.
It's Paul is their biggest helper. That's the reason why he's canonized.
Because he wasn't knocked up to like 85, 95, 80 or something, or what was it? That's the timeline. I'm like, okay, so there's just a Yahushua was here up to like 40 AD, 36 AD. So then Paul would have been the only last one, quote unquote, if he was, if it was real.
Yeah.
So then we really don't have anybody. John was before Yahushua, even though he is. Yeah, he was, I think it was like right before, like 34 AD or something. I don't know. That's just what I've been researching, trying to figure out the timelines.
Yeah, 31 AD, I believe, and he was actually born at 2 BC. So AD has nothing to do with what we were taught when we were kids. AD just means after death or after the Messiah's death. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. What do you use instead of like BC or AD or whatever? Like,
I still use those AD and BC just to give everybody an idea where we're at on the Julian calendar at that time. It's pretty standard.
I wonder what it really was though, unless they just made that up and there was nothing about that. Like as far as BC AD timelines. You know, with that video, you got to wonder how old those darn buildings are, if they're, not a couple thousand years old. I mean, I don't want to believe they were at the times of Noah, but is it possible? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you have to read Jubilees for that. There's some pretty interesting, and all of them, even Jasher too, but Jubilees is really interesting.
No wonder. Yeah, I haven't got through Jubilees 100%. So
one of the grandsons, it's the son, or was it the grandson? I'm drawing a blank here. Sorry. That finds a stele or a steel. Some people call them a steel, but it's a piece of rock that had ancient writing on it from the fallen angels. No, I believe the buildings that we're seeing were built during that thousand-year reign.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And the tech that they have there is interesting. And some of the guys bring up, the narrators bring up the interesting, you know, they notice that none of these castles and buildings had bathrooms in them.
Correct.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And all the bathrooms that were made afterwards when these guys were divvying out whose castles are going to belong to who after the thousand year reign, they started chiseling out potty holes out of the sides of these castles, letting it run down the wall. Just funny.
Well, like, it got me going on eBay because I used to, before I found out the true names, I was searching so hard and trying to figure it all out myself. And because when I was reading the scriptures, I just kept stopping my name. And I'm like, and it just clicked in my head. I'm like, I don't know his name. Like, what's his name? And then I called everybody I knew from church and whatever. And everybody's like, oh, it's too holy. Yeah, I got different answers from everybody. So I knew right then and there something, I was onto something. And I'm like, okay, I need to find out his name before I even keep reading because I'm not going to get that depart from me. I didn't know you. And so, you know, then I finally, anyways, I was just, you know, the whole thing went through that and got his name.
Yeah.
The true names. And it's just, I don't know. You know, again, that video kind of filled in the whole puzzle of the medieval times. And when I was on eBay, I see people are selling a lot of, for a lot of money, like pictures of that era. And I think they just get them and they don't know what it is. Cause I had pictures that one of my exes has, all my family pictures. And I had a whole bunch of pictures that you could fold out like that. And I'm like, dang it, I want to get those pictures. But to make a long story short, they're selling them for a lot. And there's a lot of pictures that people drew with wings. So a lot of the people that were, the girls would be helping the guys, and the girls always had wings and stuff. So I was like, why did they have wings? And why were the guys so big? And I'm like, well, you know, maybe they were bigger during that thousand year.
I haven't seen those pictures. I'd like to see those. Yeah. The only angels that I know of that have wings, the ones that are named by name, are the seraphim. Everything else is all mysticism, just putting wings on
maybe
everything.
Maybe that's what it is. Okay.
But
that's
the seraphim are the only ones,
like,
that I recall have six wings, ones that cover their eyes and ones that cover their feet, and the other ones help them fly. Yeah,
if you just type in 1800 pictures, go through it on eBay, and you're going to freak out, like, A lot of the paintings and stuff, the people would have wings for some reason. So I'm like, 1700s pictures, 1800s, like when you type in those eras, again, at least the ones I ran across. So I was like scratching my head, like, what in the world? All right, well, it'll come in due time.
Did I ever share the channel name UAP with you?
Mm-mm.
It's a capital U, capital A, capital P. It's an acquaintance friend of mine. He's a civil engineer. His name is Douglas, and might want to type that in on YouTube sometime. Just check that out, UAP. And
on YouTube covers?
Yeah, on YouTube. He doesn't just cover the old buildings and architecture and things like that, the mud floods or as it's been deemed a mud flood, but there are many other things that took place there. He covers how energy could, free energy from these bell towers, or what's been called bell towers, and the spires. He covers how this energy could be used, utilized. He also covers, I think he has one on there, in airships. He also believed that airships, that was a place to tie off the airships in some of these bell towers where people could get off and climb down into the castle. He has some that he just came out here, it's probably been a month ago now, but he covers the etymology of words in the timeline. It's interesting.
It's UAP, U like umbrella, A like alpha, P like papa, UAP channel?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you know what, brother? a brother he contacted me, the one that sent me the video back. He said that Abba Yahuwah brought it to his attention that those big old, you know, the living waters, how everything was water, those big old, what are they, not harps, but those, what are they called? Not the chimes. What is the name of those? The things that were in those buildings that put off music, those big, humongous, not chimes, but what are they called? Dang it.
Not an organ.
Yeah, like organs or whatever, those huge organs, those ones that were like ginormous. That he said mm-hmm. those were actually what people would do when they were sick or they were feeling, you know, any of those bad, you know, feelings. They would go in there and that would cleanse the music and the vibration from the 432. I don't know, but that's why they changed the music. Because, I mean, I don't know, but he said that it would be, you know, like when you hear a church bell, like ding, ding. It sounds so beautiful mm-hmm. when you hear that, you know. So it was like at that type of note, but like he said, like three or four symphonies going at once. And so when people walk in there, they would, you know, he said, why do you think when you go in a church, you feel something because of the energy and stuff? But apparently, yeah, before they put those glass pane windows up, those were open and all the music and noise would go out. And then the water was like the temperature stuff and pretty wild, but he said he put it, you know, he was like, this is not my information, but they used the music for healing. And I'm like, that makes sense. That's why they made the serpent doctors, and that's why they put these big old antennas around us and all the power grid so that it can literally dumb people down and try to mess with the magnetic field and whatever else. So,
that was
pretty wild when he told me that. I was like, dang.
Frequency is, to quote Nikola Tesla, which I'm not so sure about anymore. I almost think he was a shill as well. He was putting out a patent every month.
He was a Freemason.
But he said if possibly. He was definitely funded.
He didn't have that information. He inherited that information. I mean, he didn't know anything. Maybe he figured it out, but it was already here. You know what I'm saying? So all the technology that we have was already basically here. So
was here, and he figured it out. Yep.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think
that's what we want to believe.
Maybe. He was trying to figure it out anyway. Yeah, and I think he did figure out a lot of it. But he said if you want to understand the universe, think in terms of energy and frequency, frequency and magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
And, frequencies such as everybody's been talking about here for the past couple of years, like 5G is a frequency. Is a radio emission, a signal, and a frequency.
Yep.
And like you're talking about with music where they no longer at 432 megahertz, but they are
440 or whatever.
Yep, 440 raised it up. And it's actually, I should try and send you the video. It's Ashley, my friend Ashley on Facebook put it together. And it has the stars being filmed through these new telescopes and like the P900 mm-hmm. with the P9 P900 attached to the telescope, so it really is able to get out there and see these stars what we're looking at. And they've slowed down the speed, and we know that different frequencies create different lights, or also not just sounds but also have different colors to them. And they have slowed down these stars pulsing. And you can see they actually change color, which is the twinkling. They say a twinkling star, twinkle, twinkle, little star. And they are singing. I swear they are singing. Just like in Job where it says that the stars of heaven sang, came together and they sang. I really believe that they're up there singing. And they're making different shapes. And they are in the firmament. They're not, you know, 4 light years away. What is that's the closest one. What is that, Polaris, I think? Or not Polaris. That's a North Star. I forget the closest one. Alpha Centauri, I think. Alpha Centauri is supposed to be 4 light years away. How does that work when all the stars fall from the sky at once? They've already started falling. They had to start falling thousands of years ago. But the stars are in the same place as they've been for thousands of years, as recorded by ship captains and everybody, astrologers as well. So we're not living in an ever-expanding universe. These stars would be spread out farther from each other.
Oh, I know. No, and it's funny, if you, Enoch 93, I don't know if you know that, where it says we're in an enclosure. So even if somebody doesn't like a firmament, they don't like round earth, they don't like flat earth, okay, well, we're in a Enoch says we're in an enclosure. So there you go. There's another
a giant terrarium, I call it. You know,
yeah, there you go.
When you finally figured out that we've been placed here on purpose, the Earth is made for us to exist in.
Yep.
You know, that's a giant terrarium. It was made specifically for us and filled with all of the things, and then man was put in it. Here it is, all ready for you.
Another one to say, if somebody says, well, the Earth is not flat, well, if they can't even get that, then I don't even know.
Right.
I don't even know at all.
Right, right. The water finds its level surface. It's always level.
Yep.
But there's some interesting things when you go to see how frequency affects water and magnetism, and the frequencies and magnetism.
Oh, I know.
How it affects water is really interesting. Really interesting to see those experiments, but it still does not. It breaks it breaks their rules as far as they say what gravity does. So that doesn't work in their favor. You know, it's like, when was the last time you were on a merry-go-round? And somebody grabbed the outside rail and ran around it and spun it as hard as they could, and you were sucked to the center of it.
Yep.
You know?
No, I mean,
when
even like airplanes.
Time,
like planes, the vortex and they're not even like, I don't know if they're going to call them engines, but it's being like vortexed so that mercury and like kind of the same thing they use for energy and those light, you know, all that stuff, all the buildings. They use that in those quote-unquote engines on planes. That's why we see planes just kind of hover. They don't really fly. They just kind of like, it's hard to explain, but when you look at a plane, you'll see they're not actually flying. It's more like hovering. And so people, they've tricked everybody to think that it has engines and gas and all this. And yes, helicopters and stuff do, I believe, but definitely not like those big planes and stuff. They're all, my buddy's SF and that brother I talked to, and he was like, yeah, man, he's like, I didn't realize, I always thought about it, but then when I got this information, I was like, oh, wait, the jet engines and stuff are not, they're being, you know, they're like the vortex, that's why it's, you know, it lifts
they're
up and just kind of
floats. They're super
efficient.
Yeah, they're super efficient. They only use about 10% of the fuel that they say goes into the airplanes. I think Douglas on the UAP channel, I think he might cover that as well.
Okay.
The size of the wing versus how much fuel it can, they say that it holds, it doesn't fit. So it's like double checking everything that these guys push on us as reality. Once you double check it, it's like you can't get that many gallons into that size of a wing. It just doesn't work, especially with all the structural integrity and everything else to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Again, I got his channel. I just subscribed to it, so I'll check it out later today. And who else is on here? I don't want to. Anybody else?
I think it's just you, me, and Rachel today.
Okay.
I was hoping Debbie could join us or Blaze. We haven't heard from Blaze for a while.
Yeah, let me know before if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'll start pushing it the day of or the day before, and then we can maybe get some, you know, it's up to you. I mean, that's your call. Y'all's call.
Oh,
absolutely. You just
absolutely. This is Rachel's calling that she put together here a couple of years ago. I don't know if you've heard her talk about it, where it was to cover, you know, conspiracy theories and things like that, and definitely wound up being about flat earth. And then when she came across the truth about the Antichrist or the Anti-Messiah being written in our scriptures there, it became it just kind of blossomed from there. It's been a real awesome. Blessing for a lot of people. I know that, and I know for sure. And I'm glad that she moved when the father told her to open up a radio station. So, yeah, she does it. We do it every Sabbath, unless she's has to go on a trip or something. Like, she's been on here.
Yeah.
She does it every Sabbath, same time. Same bat channel, same bat times. So join in.
Well,
any chance you get.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in, Jasher. Something's been on my heart to do it because I haven't got through it all. And I've been remodeling, fixing my truck, all kinds of, remodeling my place. So I got to get the word in a little bit. And I got to get on Facebook. When I was banned, I think I got more stuff done than ever.
Yeah.
I
hear you.
I'm going to jump in, Jasher, and I'm going to try to get, I don't even know how many books, how many chapters it is, but I'm going to try to get through today and tomorrow. And I got to finish up the afters. Tomorrow I got a lot of stuff, but I'm going to let me know on Enoch 93 if you, just remember number 10, and let me know if you have any questions or if you have anything for me, because I think I found something there. I don't know.
Okay.
Kind of a revelation, but or something.
Yeah, just look.
It's number 10.
Do you have it where you can read it out loud?
No, I don't have it. I have my stuff on my tablet, so I gotta. My wife is with a pregnant. She's, I don't have it on me though, right now.
Okay.
I can get it though. If you want to go over.
Yeah, I'll bring it up here. I have it on my phone that I'm using here to call in. I'll close it out.
93, I believe, it kind of breaks down the timelines, because I was like searching for timeline, and then I started realizing 700 years every when Enoch says, I don't remember, I don't have a photographic memory of exactly what he said, but it's like when he first starts, and then in the first 7 days, it's like 700 years. And then another 700 years, then another 7. So it's pretty crazy. But
you want me to just read start of verse 1?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Fine.
Okay, chapter 93 of Enoch. And this is the Sefer version of it. After this, Hanok began to speak from a Sefer, a scroll, a book that was already written.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's whenever you hear that. Sefer means book or scroll, writing.
Yep.
And Hanok said, concerning the children of righteousness, concerning the elect of the world, and concerning the plant of righteousness and integrity, these things I speak of, and will I explain to you, my children. I am Hanok, or Enoch. I am Enoch. Consequence of that which has been shown to me from my heavenly vision and from the voice of the watchers and holy ones have I acquired knowledge, and from the tablet of heaven have I acquired understanding. Enoch then began to speak from a sefer and said, I have been born the seventh in the first week, while judgment and righteousness wait with patience. But after me, in the second week, great wickedness shall arise, and fraud shall spring forth.
Noah, the days of Noah, yeah.
Mm.
The angels stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. In that week, the end of the first shall take place, in which man will be saved. But when it is completed, iniquity shall grow up, and he shall execute the decree upon sinners. Afterwards, in the third week, during its completion, a man of the plant of righteousness.
I'm sorry,
judgment,
Moses. Right. Moses, I'm sorry. And then Noah comes next.
Yeah. Afterwards, in the third week, during its completion, a man of the plant of righteous judgment shall be selected, and after him the plant of righteousness shall come forever. Subsequently, in the fourth week, during its completion, the vision of the holy and the righteous shall be seen. The order of generation after generation and habitation shall be made for them. and a habitation shall be made for them. Then in the fifth week, during its completion, maybe I haven't watched a video with somebody trying to explain this to me to subvert the Holy Spirit. Let's just let the chips fall where they may here. Then in the fifth, habitation shall be made for them. Then in the fifth week, during its completion, the house of glory and of dominion shall be erected forever. Okay. I think we're on a different timeline than whatever video you're watching. After that, in the sixth week, all those who are in it shall be darkened. The hearts of all of them shall be forgetful. This is chapter, or this is verse 10, by the way. The hearts of all of them shall be forgetful of wisdom, and in it shall a man arise and come forth. And during its completion, he shall burn the house of dominion with fire, and all the race of the elect root shall be dispersed. Afterwards, in the seventh week, a perverse generation shall arise, abundant shall be its deeds, and all its deeds perverse. During its completion, the righteous shall be selected from the everlasting plant of righteousness, and to them shall be given the sevenfold doctrine of his whole creation. Afterwards, there shall be another week, the eighth of righteousness, to which shall be given a sword to execute judgment and justice upon all oppressors. Sinners shall be delivered up into the hands of the righteous, who during its completion shall acquire habitations by their righteousness, and the house of the great king shall be established with celebrations forever. After this, in the ninth week, shall the judgment of righteousness be revealed to the whole world. Every work of the wicked shall disappear from the whole earth. The world shall be marked for destruction, and all men shall be on the watch for the path of integrity. And after this one, on the seventh day of the tenth week, there shall be an everlasting judgment, which shall be executed upon the watchers, and a spacious eternal heaven shall spring forth in the midst of the angels. The former heaven shall depart and pass away. A renewed heaven shall appear, and all the celestial powers shine with sevenfold splendor forever. Afterwards, likewise, shall there be many weeks, which shall externally exist in goodness and in righteousness. Neither shall sin be named there forever and ever. Who is there of all the children of men capable of hearing the voice of the Holy One without emotion? Who is there capable of thinking his thoughts? Who is capable of contemplating all the workmanship of heaven? Who of comprehending the deeds of heaven? He may behold its animation, but not its spirit, not its ruach. He may be capable of conversing, but not of ascending. He may see all the boundaries of these things and meditate upon them, but he can make nothing like them. Who of all men is able to understand the breadth and the length of the earth? By whom have been seen the dimensions of all these things? Is it every man who is capable of comprehending the extent of heaven, what its elevation is, and by what it's supported? How many are the numbers of the stars? And where all the luminaries remain at rest? That's it. Chapter 93.
Deep. That's pretty deep,
bro. That's a good chapter. That's a very deep chapter.
Wow. I know. I got scared when I read that. I was like, wait, hold on. Let me read this back. I had to read it about four or five times before I started saying, well, the first, you know, I started breaking it down. This has to be, you know, because he was in the beginning. Enoch is saying, he was in the first. You know, then, but not, he wasn't at the beginning. He was in the seventh, or I think it was the seventh day or this first week. And then
he's
you add 700.
Adam.
Yes. So then you add 700 years per. So if you add 700 every time there's a new one, see what number you get. And you're like, oh, crap. It adds up. If you, you know, do your math, you know,
very
do your
well,
own math
yeah.
or Maybe there's a, I haven't looked online for a teaching about that, but I'm sure somebody, maybe nobody has figured it out because, I don't know.
Is that what you said? When the comforter comes, he'll give you a link, online link to learn.
Right. No, that's one thing that I hate the internet.
I don't mean to give you heck about it. We all do it. I'm guilty of it too myself. To say that we glean something from another man, another human being, all it does is bring up question marks. It should, or give us, make our mouths water to study out something farther. But it's really the Father's Spirit that brings us into all truth, really.
Yeah, exactly. That video, things don't happen by chance, and I'm not going to, if somebody says they only trust the Ruach, by all means, and you should. But that doesn't mean that he can't use you or he can't use so-and-so or use me to give information to somebody that's going to – again, that video was not by chance because I actually I can't lie to you. I literally – when you sent it to me, I clicked on it, saw Flat Earth, and I was like, nah, and I clicked it off because I've tried to watch 5 hours of those Flat Earth ones, and I'm just like, yes, I know it's flat. I don't need to know an understanding of why it's flat. But then when Brother Kevin sent it to me, it was from a different link, so it didn't say anything about Flat Earth. and then I clicked on it, and so when I started watching about 10-15 minutes of it, and then I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this? I'm like, this is not Flat Earth. And I'm like, and then that's why you're the first person I sent it to, which is freaking hilarious, because when you sent me when you sent me I already sent it to you. I was like, no, you did. I was like, oh crap. So I feel like I had to see that because that was something I was praying about and something I couldn't put together. Then it closed a little bit. But, yeah, sorry. But, thank you for saying that, by the way, because, again, I got it regardless.
Oh, yeah.
But now everything you send me, I'm like, all right, I'm going to check it out because sometimes I it's the flesh. I could be like, I don't want to watch anything about Flat Earth. But lo and behold, I think he did that on purpose because a lot of people won't watch it because of that. I've sent it to everybody. I've sent it to
you,
brother, and they don't watch it. They have not watched it. The people that watch it are the random people that I'm not even friends with. They go, thank you so much, Blake Edward McCoy. I'm like, don't thank me. I just, but yeah, I guess only a select few people are supposed to, I don't know. I have to pay people to try to watch it. And I'm like, trust me, it's not about Flat Earth. But,
it's really been put on my understanding, my being, to not say that I'm saved, or me personally, to not go around saying that I'm saved or I'm chosen or I'm one of the remnant, one of the remnant or anything like that. It's really been, that's presumptuous.
Yeah.
I have not been judged that way to know for sure. So for me to say anything like that is very presumptuous. But we see that in Paul's writings, where he says he's run the race, and now he's financially, spiritually secure, if you will, and he's in retirement. We've read that, that we be careful not to do what Paul did.
Yeah, at this point, if I can keep away from Paul's writings altogether, I read the Enoch is my go-to. That Enoch replaced Paul for me, if that makes sense.
That's a good thing to replace. Yeah, definitely get rid of Paul. I that would do everybody a great deal of service. Just rip those books out of there. And I'm not real happy with the Book of Hebrews at all right now. And I know, like you were saying earlier, the guy that you were sharing with, we're under the order of Melchizedek or the Melchizedek priesthood. Yusha never said that, did he?
No,
that's just like off the wall out of one book,
True.
And I cannot stand chapter 13 of the last chapter in Hebrews. I do not like it at all. There's one saying in there that I used to just love to say, to repeat, but that was during that 40 years where I was preaching Paul and different denominations of the Christian religion. I don't chapter 13 where it says salute them in Rome who have the authority over you. Wow.
Acts is where I'm at. I think Acts is the only one that I'm actually maybe trusting as far as my spiritual not, or what my walk is right now, I can't be confused at all. So those,
right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think anybody has time to be, have any confusion right now. And, you know, if you have anything more detailed about Paul, like about, even videos or writings or anything, you know, if you have time, send them my way and I'll give you feedback or, cause
I'll
I don't understand a lot of it. So
I think just a suggestion, I would listen to that, the Nazarene Acts of the Apostles, written by Clement. And Clement, as I was talking about earlier, was James' understudy there for a while, went for the, through the purification process and was welcomed into a keeper and follower of the way then. James actually then sends him with Peter. I don't believe that Peter was all that literate or, you know, good at writing or anything. I don't, as I've discovered, like with First Peter at the end of it, second to the last verse, or third to the last verse in Peter there, it says it was written by Silas. First Peter was written by Silas, you know, one of the followers of Paul. So, which explains some of the funny things that I found in First Peter even. Not as bad as Second Peter, there's a lot of things in there that we should definitely not be afraid to question. That whole doctrine that's been brought on with superstition of infallibility and, oh, you shouldn't question it. Gosh darn it. How else are we going to test the spirits? You know?
Yeah, just believe everything you hear.
Yeah. I'm not that superstitious anymore. I'll walk under a ladder. You know, I like
black
cats.
Yeah, me too.
So,
yeah, me too.
You know,
yeah, no, I used to always be like that, where I wouldn't go around the pole or cut the pole or whatever.
Yeah.
I would stop and be like, oh, sorry about that.
It's good.
You know, one thing I told somebody, or I don't know if I posted this or somebody, but I said, I tell my uncle this because he's not he doesn't believe in, I don't know. Anyways, I said, well, people will sit there and obey the thousands of laws of this world, but they can't even start to obey 10 commandments from our Creator, from the Creator of everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
613. Yeah, or the rabbinical writing of it say that there's 613 laws, statutes, judgments, ordinances, and laws together. And there's actually more. But
yeah but like,
say,
imagine,
oh, are you
just
kidding
the laws
me?
Of
that's
this world.
Legalism. Yeah, they'll say to me, oh, that's legalism. And I'm like, I can't, there's no way you can keep all 613. I'm like,
but
well,
you do for the world, right?
Thousands. Yeah, you have thousands in just the county or the city that you live in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
it's funny.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not funny, but it's kind of sad. It's terrible.
It is. Yeah, it's, yeah. I know what you mean by funny. It's just like a real
if somebody could break down every law.
Shaking my head.
Yeah, if somebody could break down every law, I know that there may be, but like to the T, like it was crazy because me and my wife prayed before we got in the Word, and I prayed something specific. We went to Leviticus 2. It talks about, I think it told us about the kid, about the child bearing, like where the women have a boy or a girl, then they can't do certain things. And I was
it
like
all.
Freaked out. I was like, I never saw that before. So I'm like, man, I was like scared. I was like, so we can't, you know, the doctor says 2 weeks, so, you know, and when you see stuff like that, it's just wow.
Stick with
crazy.
The Torah. Yeah, stick with the Torah. Yeah, that's where that word prenatal or natal comes from, is from Nadal, the period of Nadal, whether the woman gives birth to a male child or a female child, the difference, between having a sexual intercourse again. You know, there's a period of time where you're just not supposed to touch the woman, touch your wife. You know, just leave her alone. If she's had a male child, you leave her alone for so many days. I forget what it is exactly. I'm sorry.
I think it's 60 days or something. Yep.
Yeah,
something like
and a woman, and if it's a female, it's a little bit longer.
90
and
days or something. Yep.
Yeah. And the funny thing is when you look back, when you read things like, is it Jubilees? Sorry, I'm drawing a blank here. It may even be Jasher, too, where it talks about when he... it's also in the book of Adam and Eve. I think it also talks a little bit about it too. That's another good read for you. The period of time before Adam was actually placed in the garden. And then after he took his rib and how long, because in what we have in our Protestant and Catholic canons, we think it sounds like it was just within a couple of hours. You know, he took Adam's rib, had him fall into deep sleep, took his rib, made woman from him, and then Adam became conscious, and then he brought the woman to Adam. We think it just happened just like that. But in the other in the other books that give greater detail, we see there's actually quite a bit of difference in time period. And it all fits with that, as you're talking about in Leviticus, the Nadal, the time of Nadal, which is what Yahuwah actually did when he brought woman, Eve, on the scene. He kept her a little bit longer before he brought her to Adam. And it's that same time period, whether, you know, Adam was kept as a male for a certain amount of time before he was put in the garden, and same with Eve. It's really interesting when you see all those things fitted together. It's really neat. It almost makes Genesis look like cliff notes.
Yeah.
No, there's
Aramaic targums is one that I've kind of, I haven't got through it all, but it's definitely, I don't know if you heard of Zen Garcia by chance, that he does a lot of different, I think he like published out the Aramaic targums. There's the writings of Abraham or whatever. There's some other, some other books that I'm like, I have them on PDF. I can email them to you if you haven't seen them.
Yeah,
let me know.
Ascension of Isaiah is a good one. There's also from the 12 sons of Jacob. There's their testimonies. They're all from their deathbeds to their children when they're about to die. They all write their testimonies out. There's some really good ones. I enjoy reading all of those things, especially listening to them. That's why I think you really enjoy the Nazarene Acts of the Apostles when I send it to you. As it gets into where he's sent by James to go follow Peter, to go around and keep a detailed account, because Clement is educated, highly educated. He speaks, I forget how many languages he speaks, and writes. And he keeps an account, a diary of all of Peter's travels, expenses, word for word, who he goes up against. He goes up against Simon Magus numerous times in debate. And Simon Magus has his own take on scriptures. And he really does. But when you hear Simon's take on it, you're like, wow, that covers a vast majority of Christianity today. They believe that same way. And then Peter,
check that out.
And then Peter has a rebuttal for it. And it's straight out of scripture and exactly. And it's really neat. I think you'll really enjoy it. In fact, there's a vast amount of evidence just in the Clementine homilies that points to Paul and Simon Magus being one and the same, Simon the magician, where he's like a changeling, where they don't recognize him. What happened to him for 3 years? Where did he go? Did he really, as he says, went to some secret chamber, went to the base of Mount Sinai to learn directly from the Messiah? That's what he pretty much alludes to. That's where he disappeared for 3 years after. But is that really what happened? I don't believe so. I believe what, like Jude says, these men that are ordained of old, which means they're prophesied through the prophets. Paul is prophesied. He is. When he pops out, when you see it, it's amazing. It's been the whole year, all these years right there in front of me. But anyway, as Jude said, these guys have been ordained of old, and they snuck in. And we were unaware of them, and they're sneaking in, and they're spots in our feasts. And here they were, keeping all these feasts with us and pretending like they were of us. Or as John says, we should do that sometime. Fit that Jude and John, First John there together, where John is talking about, hey, they went out from us because they were not of us. They were never part of us. That's why they left, and that's why they're not missed. They were not of it. They were not of us. Do you guys understand that? We took them down to Caesarea, put them on a boat, and shipped them back to Assyria, where the Antichrist is prophesied to come out of. I mean, Tarsus.
Yeah, I remember. I forget what verse it was where Yahusha says something about the scribes, where they, I forget what verse it was, but he says something about something with the scribes, that they, I guess they had changed scribes or tampered with them or something. I forget. I'll have to when he flips over the table and then trying to think, it's around that time. I forget which one it is, but I'll find it. But yeah, so that to me, that was like a giveaway that they changed stuff, because even he said they did.
Yeah.
So in his days, so I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Now.
That's the whole reason for chapter 5 of Matthew. He's setting a lot of things straight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've heard that argued. And I've covered that argument with somebody was saying to me, well, he was touching on the Mishnah, or the what was called the verbal Torah or the verbal traditions. He was, when he said, you've heard it said, but wow, that's loud. When I hear it, we can find all those things. What you was just talking about, it. You've heard it said. Well, I can look it up, and here it is. I can see it written as well.
Yeah.
So that wasn't a very good defense of trying to distinguish the difference. Well, he was really talking about this law, and one thing led into another. They were trying to show that Paul was talking about this law or that law or the law of sin or the law of death or the. No, it's all.
I know it's all confusion.
He's all talking about the Torah. Yeah
I'm saying, like, Paul brings
things,
confusion.
He does. And none of those things have been done away with. I think we talked about that. For those that keep the Torah, they are blessed. And for those who don't keep the Torah, they are cursed. Either way, whether you keep the Torah or not, it is established in your life. So it's just funny. It makes me chuckle when Paul says, so then do we do away with the Torah? God forbid, we establish it. That's correct. You do. Whether you keep the Torah or you do away with it, you establish it. It is established in our lives. It is from where it's from what we are judged from.
Yeah, and people will twist it and say, well, they, you know, but you know who the I don't even know what to call them anymore, but just the people that are, I don't know.
Lip servers. Fakes, frauds, clubbers.
Yep.
I've even called them clubbers. They're just going around from one club to the other. You know, just clubbing it up.
True.
I want to be perceived as a good person. Here's my business card. I'm a Christian. See the fish on my business card?
Yep.
You know, so I'm tired
and
of
you
that.
And, you know, what's crazy is you know, and this is a bad joke because, you know, I'm far from racist. I grew up around all nationalities and, you know, skin colors. But I made a joke to my brother Kevin. I said, so you're telling me I can wear a swastika on my shirt? And that means the swastika was actually a positive thing, but the enemy turned it into a negative thing. But, like, the peace sign's positive, but it's actually negative, the V, and then there's, what was the other one? You know, the cross is, you know, of course, a death symbol, and they use that as a positive thing. So I said they weren't lying when they said white power, were they? Because that the swastika meant power, like the power grid, you know, the old system. And so, again, they used it. I think they used it because I think Hitler used it.
You know where that
it.
Came from?
What was that?
That's the
swastika?
Big Dipper. It's the Big Dipper as it travels around the four seasons.
Well, no, but for the, you know, the power grids and stuff, they had, that's the reason why you saw that sign, because that was the whole, the living waters and the power, the mercury and all that, that was the vortex. So that's the symbol of the vortex. So it was actually meaning that, what is it called? That, you know, the energy, the vortex. So that's why everything that was powered by vortex power, I guess, had that symbol on there. And it just so happens, you know, Hitler, I believe, is a Freemason, and I think that's why they used that sign, so it would definitely throw people off. Because if somebody said that sign is a good sign, they would be like, are you crazy? You know, and you'd be like, well, no, if you look at the history, it's actually...
There's Navajo. They use that. Only it's not pointing the wings, the tips of the swastika aren't pointing left, they're pointing right. The Navajo had that symbol for many, many... For as far back as we can see, way before.
Because of the vortex, I think it explains the vortex. So that's why I'm saying, like, that's why they even made white power. No, it meant vortex power. But they turned it into something crazy. And again, like the cross, I have a big cross on my arm. I don't even know why I got it a long time ago. And I didn't know what it meant. You know, now I know. I'm like, oof, because, you know, almond tree, not a cross. So anyways, I'm gonna head out. I'm gonna hit the Book of Jasher. If you have time anytime, I'll try to get to it today. And then anything else if you feel in your heart, again, I gotta get through Jubilees, Jasher. The what?
Yeah. Oh, the Nazarene Acts of the Apostles. It's many hours long. But,
okay.
But I'll send you the link that has the PDF that's free to download, as well as the MP3s that you can download and listen to it. I've done it a lot. Listen to it while I was reading it, or if I couldn't read, I'm doing chores around, like you're doing detailing or remodeling or whatever. You can listen to it in the background and pause and rewind it. That's what I love, because you'll hear some stuff in there that'll just absolutely blow your mind. Like he covers, Peter says exactly what happened on the evening of the Last Supper. He says they let the lamb go, and they did not eat lamb. They did not eat lamb for the second Passover that they had together. They did not have 3 years of, you know, of Freemasonry. I mean, you know, that's basically Freemasonry. They all have their fingerprints on a lot of things, on a lot of doctrines. 33. Oh, he was 33 years old when he was crucified.
No.
Oh, his ministry was 3 years old. Well, I've talked to many guys like myself, and we've all pretty much come into agreement. There's only two Passovers in there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get two out of three? And the last Passover was after the first year, the acceptable year of Yahuwah, as he opened up on the day when he came up out of the being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. He came into his hometown and he opened up to Isaiah 61 and he declared the acceptable year of Yahuwah. There's a lot of things that cover in there, even calendation-wise. All the calendars being used at that time, all fitted nicely that
I want to read that instead. Send that. If you have time, send it over. I can listen to it too.
That's what gave Judas, because you remember the Sanhedrin? They were looking for reasons to kill the Messiah. And that right there gave them the reason. In fact, I'm persecuted today because I don't eat lamb on the Passover. And I can show anybody, as it was shown to me, here's the memorial, people. This is the memorial. We're not in Egypt anymore, and we don't keep it as though we're still in Egypt. You know, a lot has transpired since then. We are covered by a different kind of blood, first of all. You know, and it's like Jesus says to the woman at the well, the hour is coming, and now is, when we won't worship in that mountain or at Jerusalem, but we'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So no matter where we are, when we're keeping his times, we worship him in spirit and in truth. But it's really interesting. It's really good to hear when Peter says that that's what gave Judas his excuse to go and turn him in, because he did not eat lamb as the synagogue of Satan has traditionally done, and they're brought up traditionally. Joshua, when they crossed the river after 40 years in the wilderness, after that generation, their parents had died off, and Yahuwah says, I raised those children up to be my children. I didn't, you know, their parents didn't raise them up. He raised them up. And once their parents died off, then Joshua took the children of Israel. They set their 12 stones. They crossed the river, and then they kept the Passover right then and there. And it says that they ate the old corn of the land and the unleavened bread, and the manna ceased to fall. There's no lamb anywhere mentioned there. None whatsoever. They didn't sacrifice anything. And the next thing they do is they circumcise. Or is it Sorry, they would have had to circumcise first before the Passover. I got mixed up. And then the first city that they destroy is Jericho, the city of the moon, the moon keepers.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, it just blows my mind. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, but God's calendar is based on the moon. No, it isn't.
No, that's what I always, something in my heart is like, nah. I mean, I don't even, honestly, I'm not there yet. As far as keeping the feast days and stuff, I don't even know. I'm not sure for my family. I don't know what days to do it. So I'm at the point where I'm getting there.
Do it the best you
and,
can.
Just
do it. But
I don't.
Do it.
I mean, I don't
want to
do.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have
well,
a feeling that some. No, go
Christmas,
ahead.
You know, and we know not to. Do
yeah,
Christmas
no, no, I don't.
And Halloween
no.
and.
I don't do birthdays. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't do any of that stuff.
That always just blew me away how people would say, "Oh, those are that. All those things are nailed to the cross. All those feast days, those are for the Jews. Those have all been done away with." And yet here they are keeping Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, the New Year's on the wrong time of the year. They're doing everything
mm-hmm.
in the Roman style. And it's like, wow.
I got to the point where if I don't understand it, I won't even do it. I'm just like, nope. Not going to do it.
That's a good idea. That's good.
And then just until I get to their different levels and different teachings. And he knows my heart. He knows how I learn. And I do learn well when I listen to scripture, you know, and then also also going back and reading after. So then I kind of have an understanding. And then, I mean, just again, I pray before I open up the word and he'll tell you where to go. And scary, but he'll tell you what scriptures to read, almost like he'll pick something out for you. And I'm like, oh, like scary. It's almost scary. I've had instances where my wife, she has a separate Bible than me. So we prayed like on one accord, and literally like her Bible is like someone like girl's Bible looking thing. And then mine's like a totally different one. And then we flip open to the same page. I'm like, no freaking way. I'm like, yeah, that's
cool.
Scary.
That's right on.
Yeah, so that's kind of something that I don't know how that's even possible, but it happens. So, Leviticus and everything.
There's been days where I've put up a scripture. I'll make a little meme scripture into a meme and post it. And I'll get a whole bunch of different responses from people. I was just reading that, or I
mm-hmm.
just read that last night.
Yep.
A tune in, you know, different times, different time periods. That, you know, I've also
yeah, like with that video.
That
I mean, yeah, like that. That is a to me that's like crazy because I literally deny that video, and I feel like there's only certain people that I can't lie. There's only certain people that I'll listen to their information, like yours, and again, Brother Kevin, a couple other people, but not like nobody really sends me anything, but. Again, for me to deny that you sent that to me, I'm like, oh, man, I can never do that again because I was supposed to watch that and probably send it to Brother Kevin because if you find out the way he found that video, by the way, he was looking for worship music or like, you know, like Yahoo music type stuff. And or he was, it was even, I don't even know what it was, music. But it was in there. So when I shared it, if you look on mine, it's all nothing but music, but he came across it by accident. So, and that was 2 weeks later. Get it? So that wasn't by accident. I don't believe.
That's pretty neat.
So,
well, if you ever find any some good music with the restored names, let me know. And I don't mean somebody singing to the Babylonian word of salvation, you know, Yeshua. That's the Babylonian spelling and word for salvation. It doesn't mean anointed of Yah. You know, the anointed
Correct.
One, like Messiah, it doesn't mean Yah's salvation. It just means salvation. That's all it means. So, like you said,
I think we're
going to
see more music coming soon. But right now, it's all a lot of the older stuff, and then a lot of it's kind of like hip-hop / R&B /... There's some that, I mean, I don't mind it, but there's a couple on there, but then they just kind of mix in... And that's my wife is real bad about that. If they say G-O-D and they say L-O-R-D and then they use the like if they're using multiple names, she's like, stay away, you know, we just stay away from anything. I don't even like people's posts when they say G-O-D bless you and stuff. I'm like trying to like,
you don't know.
I'm like, I don't want to be a jerk, but I'm just like, maybe they'll get it because I don't like their post and then they'll, I don't know. But anyways, I mean, you know, if you think about it though, and then I have this thing in my heart saying, well, I didn't know, so I can't be cocky or I can't act like, you know, maybe they say that we used that name at one time or another, and it didn't mean that we didn't have a relationship and he didn't, you know, he didn't know us. We didn't know him. And we were seeking, we kept pulling on him. We kept pulling and seeking for deliverance. We kept seeking for the truth. And we had no other choice is what that was me personally. as I literally had no choice. It was either see a world or, and I can tell you my testimony. I don't know if I told you my whole testimony, but yeah, it was like,
yeah.
I didn't even ask for this, you know? So that's what's cool about it, is that most people come to me and try to, like, that one guy trying to preach to me and stuff, and I'm like, brother, I didn't ask for this. Like, if I tell you my testimony, you'll understand that I was far from this. This came out of nowhere. It fell in my lap, and I have a choice to make. I can either go with it or run away from it. And because I was far from a holy roller, a KGB holy roller. Nah, bad joke. I was far from seeking any type of truth or even reading the King James at that. So that's what Yahuwah does. He brings the people that I think people least expect, and if they're willing, he knows their heart. And, you know, I mean,
yeah,
he knows what they're going to do. And people always say, he knows my heart. Well, yeah, he does, but he knows that you're going to find the truth if he keeps sending you people with it. you know, but some people, again, they just can't leave the church, and I get it. I totally get it. But,
yeah.
Well, let's just hope they before... But
where do you think they get that from? Where do you suppose people get that idea that they need to, or they're commanded to go to the circus?
Well, this is my opinion, and hopefully I'm wrong, but they make oaths. They make oaths that are in the King James, or they make oaths that are in the with the church. You know, when people go into church, they make you recite certain things like, okay, here's your paper. Everybody read this out loud. And before you know it, you're talking yourself into some kind of agreement that, you know, I see that with a lot of Christians, they try to make you come in an agreement with something, an argument, or like a debate about the truth. And it's like, I'm not coming in agreement with what you're saying. Like, it's weird how the enemy works, because it literally will try to debate with you over the name or something. And then it'll say, well, don't you believe in God? Do you believe the word, the H-O-L, you know, with the question mark. So they're having you answer something that they believe. And you're like, and I just say, I'm not coming into agreement with what you're saying. This is the name. So I figured out, you know, it's just like the Spirit led me to not come into agreement with anybody unless they're a brother or they're really seeking truth.
Right.
Because then if I come into agreement with somebody that says G-O-D, then I'm like, well, who do I really believe in? Nah, not me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, when you see that. All right, brother. That pronunciation, G-O-D, as we say it, God, is actually the name, the way you pronounce a Hebrew name of a Babylonian deity of fortune. Now flip over a dollar bill and look at the back, you know?
I think I posted that, and, you know, I did kind of a, I don't know if you didn't see my whole rant, because I was tired of everybody, it kind of makes more sense, but... Again, I got a lot to learn, and I'm willing. I just got to, I got a baby on the way, so I'm going to be learning a lot these next couple of weeks.
You definitely been blessed, you know, and it's neat that you see that and you recognize that. Where some people are like, oh, there's time off. But you're getting paid. You're getting covered with your bills and everything are being covered during this time off, and you're studying. You're not sitting around playing video games, which we know that most guys would do today.
Yeah,
you know,
I have done crypto. And I just had to. It got to a point where I was dealing with crypto all day because I was trying to, because I knew this great reset was coming, so I was trying to get set up correctly for my family. And you know, I learned all the crypto, but once I learned it, I was like, okay, let me go back to the truth, because this crap doesn't matter. But I at least learned it so that if it does collapse, I can use it for my family to take care of them. You know, solar is another thing. I learned some things, so I'm not in the scriptures 24/7. That's for sure, and I need to be. But every day is a possible, a different day to start over.
Yeah.
And I got you.
Certainly. So are you trying to tell me you got to go? You can't stick with me for another hour? Stick with us?
Yeah, no, I can. It's because I'm inside. If I go, I got a travel trailer, and then so to get off grid and stuff, and it's hot out here in Texas. And in my truck, I was working on it till the evening last night, and I stopped. And so I got to finish it, so I can't turn on my AC in my truck. So because I don't have any coolant in there or anything. Put a new radiator and stuff.
Oh, I
so
get you. Yeah.
Can't do that.
What's the temperature down there today?
I got my eyeballs sunburned yesterday, so that's it's not as bad as that. Or at least I'm in the shade right now. So yeah, I've never experienced that. But I was working so long on the dang truck that my eyeballs started getting sunburned, and I'm like, is this really happening? And I was like, all right, well, let me pray in the bathroom and I'll be all right. And yeah, my eyes feel better today, but yesterday it felt like they were freaking weird. But
yeah,
now I know to always wear sunglasses because this heat is the sun. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's called the sun at this point, but that big old ball that gives us light is getting hotter for some reason.
I've been learning some stuff. We should have I don't want you to cook in there, but yeah, it's like 80 degrees here. But that's 20 degrees cooler than it's been for the past month. It's just been miserable. Last night it got down to 74 in my fifth wheel, and I was cold. I put a sweatshirt on. I couldn't believe it. I live up here in North Idaho. This is my kind of weather, you know. I'm acclimated to snow. I'm a snow mountain man. And it got down to 70. I must be getting. I'm getting old. I got to go buy some sweaters, I think, or something. But it got down to 74. I thought, man, it's chilly in here. I put a sweatshirt on. Then I looked at the temperature. It said it was 74. I'm like, oh wow, am I getting old?
y'all
funny how you get it.
Yeah,
get
the heat's coming this way now.
Ooh.
Yep.
We need that. We need
this
some
way.
Of that rain. Yeah, we need that rain. You guys have been getting flooded out.
It's going. Yeah, I don't think that's well. I'm not gonna tell you about the mud floods, but I think, that's another story or longer. But they're controlling. I mean, I find it so weird how there's places there's no rain going on, but they got these floods coming out of nowhere. I'm like, is that where they put all the water? Huh? You know, the spirit showed me that, I believe, that, and I heard this is not my doing, and I'm like, what doing? Like, what are you saying? And then I realized, oh, okay, they're flooding people out. So
weather manipulation.
Yeah,
and the places that should be getting the rain this time of year are the big crop areas, you know, not just like in Texas there, but we're talking like California and Oregon and the southern Idaho and stuff. We're cooking here, and we usually have big crops this time of year, and they're absolutely killing it. And we have fires again, like you can't believe. It is so dry around here and so hot. It's just, we had a good fire last night about 5 miles from here, and thank God they put it out. It's pretty neat where we were able to watch these big, huge water planes fly in and fly out of the smoke and just dump and hear them wow fly over with their big engines, and it was pretty neat.
You gotta wonder if we're supposed to all meet up one day, all the people that really are seeking truth, just like there's a piece of land that's just off of everything, because that's where my head's at, brother. Like, I don't want to be anywhere near the stuff of this world, and every day is another. But we're still, again, I moved to Bandera, which is like a small town in Texas. It's not like San Antonio. I got my family out of there, but it's not small. I mean, it's small enough, but I mean, it's a cowboy, quote unquote, cowboy capital of Texas. But if there's any power grids, if there's anything around that area, then I feel like that they're susceptible to the Great Reset, essentially, like, for people to come knocking on doors and stuff. So, but yeah, once I get this truck fixed and running, I may travel out somewhere, but start looking around and pray about it first, of course. But yeah, I don't want to be, I don't mind Texas, but I just don't, I only want to be where he needs me to be, and I want my family to be safe. So something's going on, but we'll see.
The remnant is scattered until he brings them together. And I know your desires. We hear it a lot. You know, people want to have fellowship, but he does not, as he stated, he says, I do not assemble with the wicked. And we have these churches that are always saying that they are likened to a hospital where they're full of sick people, wicked and whatever. I mean, and can you feel his presence in this place? I'm like, no, that's a familiar spirit.
Yep.
Oh, you mean a familiar spirit? Yeah. And this is after some guy gets up there and preaches in front of everybody, has everybody bow their head and listen to his long, drawn-out prayer. That's a hypocrite right there.
Yep.
They're doing everything the opposite, it seems like, most of the time, of what Yusha actually taught, and they're doing this Pauline version, their Pauline version. You know, I wish that all men would pray everywhere without ceasing. Well, Messiah said, don't do that. He said, don't be like the hypocrites that say prayers and long prayers to be seen and heard of men. They have their reward.
Yep.
That's what we should tell them. We listen to you. That's your tithe.
Yep, the 501(c).
that's
all.
You know,
yeah. Once I started understanding that, I was like, because at one time I used to own 4 businesses, so I didn't understand that a church was a business until I heard of the 501, mm-hmm. the tax. You know, the apostle that the apostle that was there was always like saying, well, I can get you a hotel, because I was going through some stuff. And she's like, it's a tax write-off. I got the 501(c). And then I would hear him talking about business, and I'm like, I'd be in the back of it, and I'm like, what the heck is this a business? Like, and then she was like,
yep.
You'll be an apostle one day. And I was like, okay. Like, I wanted to be one. And then I literally realized it was like I was getting pulled out of there, and then I tried to go to another place, and then I had a question about deliverance and stuff. And they were counting money in the office, and they said, we're busy right now. Can you come back next? We'll talk next time. And I'm like, all right. Like, and I walked out like, man, I'm never coming back here. It's a business. And I'm like, next you know, here I am. So it's a business. Like you said,
it's
a business for them. They clock in, they say a couple verses, pretty much the same verses every time. Psalm 91, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And then, all right, you know, and then they said, let's get a testimony. And, you know, I think we've talked more than the whole time I've ever been to church right now on this one conversation, you know. So, I mean, you know, that should tell you something. I mean, not tell you, but that should tell people something when you can talk some, you know, for free and being, you know, trying to learn truth versus, you know, paying and going, getting dressed up and all that crap. That one guy, to end this, that guy that I met downtown, I had to take care of something, and he keeps texting me. He said, I want you to go see my apostle. And I said, oh, go. I said, but I'm going to dress just like this with the hat, and I got to start wearing
wait,
Nike
wait,
crap,
wait.
But I got a lot.
He said,
yeah.
He said what, Blake? He wants you to go see.
Well, so he was trying to
tell
me.
He wanted you to go see his apostle?
That's what and that's what I told him. I said, it's your apostle, but I shouldn't have said anything. I should have just went, and I felt like I was supposed to maybe expose false apostles or just stay away from them. I don't know if I got, but I told him that, and I said that he goes, no, I can't tell you where I go I can't tell you where my apostle assembly, whatever it is. And I'm like, look, I mean, I can go ask him, why is he breaking the Ten Commandments? And he goes, no. And I'm like, okay. So he wouldn't tell me the name of the church or anything, or whatever it is, assembly, church.
Huh.
So
yeah.
We've been going back and forth, but He'll get it.
Well, you know,
Yahuwah will show him if it's written on his heart.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we know
if it's not written on his heart.
You know what the requirements are to be an apostle, correct?
I have no idea.
I'm sure.
I have no idea.
This is good. This is definitely part of the Pauline doctrine that needs to be covered. I don't know if you got a Bible there, handle. Handy with you?
No, I'm outside with the freaking skeeters and the
skeeters.
My son, if I go inside, you know, my wife is like doing something and my son is loud, so you won't be able to hear me if I'm inside.
Oh, I see. You don't have another room you can shut the door or something. I know they're small.
Yeah.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, mine's like a 32-footer. Yeah,
okay.
With a 6-year-old and a pregnant woman, so not a great combo for noise reduction.
I'll go ahead and read it
right.
Since you're here. It's not long at all. I mean, it's pretty simple. And Peter is actually just reiterating commandments that are given, that Messiah gave throughout the eyewitness account testimonies that are, you know, written about what he said. It's throughout all of his sayings. And he says, those who keep my sayings shall never see death. So we need to keep his sayings for sure. Let me see. Let's see. I believe it's in Acts 1, 20, chapter, or verse 22, I believe, is when it actually begins. No.
Okay.
Let me go back here. I'll go to verse 20 in Acts chapter 1. Peter is reading from Psalms here. For it is written in the Sefer of Psalms, Tehillim, that his habitation be desolate. They've just been discussing on a replacement for Judas. So he's reading from Psalms here. For it is written in the Sefer of Psalm, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his ministry let another take. Wherefore, of these men which we have companied with us all the time, he's given, okay, listen here, Blake, here's the three requirements that must be met. All three must be met. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that Adonai Yehusha, Master Yehusha, went in and out among us. Okay, that's one right there. They have to be during the whole time that he went in and out among us. Beginning from the immersion of Yehuchanan from John, from his baptism by John, until the same day that he was taken up from us. And I don't mean crucified. This doesn't mean crucified. This is actually the ascension into heaven when he says this. The day that he was taken up from us. Must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Okay, so there's three requirements just mentioned right there. He has to, a person can only qualify to be an apostle having met all three of these requirements. They must have been a witness of Messiah going in and out amongst his disciples.
Correct.
The whole time. They must be a witness of his baptism, and they must be a witness of his ascension into heaven.
And that's they could say spiritual or physical.
Physical. Had to see it. In fact, there were 500 on the day of his ascension that saw him ascend into heaven, being taken up from the mountain there. But did all 500 qualify? No. Actually, here in the very beginning of the book of chapter 1 of Acts, it says there was about 120 that did qualify.
Yeah.
Out of all the disciples.
Yeah, so there's nobody would qualify at this point. I mean,
all three. Exactly. That's the point right there.
Okay.
When somebody says, I'm an apostle, there's absolutely no way. There's no way. It just as it is for Paul.
A messenger, Paul maybe. They could be a messenger.
Disciple. What did he say? He said in Matthew 28, 19, I believe, he said to his apostles, he said, go into all the world, teaching all the nations, all that I have commanded, baptizing them in the name. Make disciples. He said, make disciples. He didn't say apostles. He said, go out and make disciples.
Correct.
And that's the only thing that anybody could ever hope to be is a disciple of Yehusha, because none of us were witnesses of his baptism or of his going in and out or his ascension. And neither was Paul. So Paul writing that he was an apostle, ordained apostle 20 times, is an absolute out-and-out lie, because Yehusha had already set the commandments. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this is where people will come to me later on and say, well, don't you believe that God, God, G-O-D, is in the business of doing miracles? And I will turn around and ask them, but don't you believe that when God says a commandment, writes it in stone, issues an ordinance, a decree, a commandment, that he himself is going to keep it and make sure that everybody else is going to keep it as well? Well, yes,
correct.
Of course. Then you are asking me to believe that it's a miracle that he would go back on his own word, his own commandment, when it was already established.
Never will. Nope.
And they stand in front of you like they stare at me like a deer in the headlights then. It's like, yep, you're trying to ask me to believe that he will go against his own word.
Nope, not going to happen.
That makes, never. Yeah, so no, it was not a miracle. It was an out-and-out lie that Paul, well, we know that reading his four different conversion stories, three of them in the book of Acts and one in Galatians. They're all different. Not one would be admissible in a court of law. It's all hearsay, of course, too. Same with the book of Acts. It's written by a third-party witness, Luke, who is not a disciple and not an apostle, did not qualify.
Correct.
You know, and it's hearsay. And we're going off of hearsay.
And that's your eternal life, you know, eternity, to go off of something that, no, it doesn't, you know, again, Enoch kind of replaced my Pauline stuff. So I'd rather go that route is the best thing I can say, is because I was just going to disregard them all together. But I'm like, wait, we've got so much more beautiful scriptures to go through. And Jubilees is another one that I got to get through, in Jasher. So I'm going to, that's my goal, is to get through all those. Enoch is pretty long. So not too long, but it's long enough. And then if you could, if
no,
you send
you
that one over,
it,
I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be doing floors
really
and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, that'd be perfect.
I will.
Especially like when you get to the part where he's, where Peter says, talks about the lamb, that they had a lamb, but they let it go. They set it free. They didn't eat it.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
But why they even had a lamb in the first place, I really don't know, because it's not a part of the memorial that's found in Exodus, where Moses covers that before they keep the Passover, before they even instigate the Passover. They're all getting ready for it. And then he explains to them with the elders that are there with him, look, if we're going to keep this, we're going to keep a memory of this event throughout all of our generations forever. And this is how we're going to keep it. We're going to eat unleavened bread.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no Seder meal. There's no, that's all traditional stuff that came along later.
Correct.
It has nothing
traditions
found
of
in
men.
The scripture. Yeah.
Yep.
Traditions of Judaism there.
It's better. I'm better to not know the days and wait for them than to try to, again, if I'm being led certain ways, because I believe everybody, you know, like, again, certain things are coming at certain times, and I don't want to say something wrong. And if I see so many people going back and forth with certain topics, that it's like, if I even try to, if the spirit doesn't leave me, or if I try to go on my own understanding, I'm going to end up confusing myself. And that's usually what happens. If I try to seek something out without learning other things first, then it's just jumping the gun, as far as like jumping into stuff that I shouldn't. I'm not there yet on certain levels. So I believe everybody's at a different level, and we just get revealed things, and then it starts to put everything together. But all right, brother, I'm gonna get into Jasher. If you send that, actually, I'll start, because I'm gonna be doing the floors tomorrow, so I'm gonna listen to it, and I may get into it a little bit tonight. But I got to get through Jasher for some reason. I don't know why. Jubilees and Jasher, because I haven't got through them all the way, and so it's been in my heart like all week, and I've been doing other things. But today I was gonna make time to get through them, or try to get through them.
Jubilees is a good read, and if you read, are you reading it? Which version are you reading it?
It's
out of the Sefer?
Sefer, yeah.
Okay. When you get to a few chapters, like even chapter 2, especially chapter 6, it almost it does the way that Pidgin had it translated. Now, Pidgin, keep in mind, he is a dark moon conjunction calendar keeper.
Yeah.
He keeps the same calendar that Judaism keeps, a Babylonian dark moon conjunction. And he has taken liberty, he's taken it upon himself to add to the word, and that is very scary. I've talked to him about it twice, and he's added the word dark before moon, first of all, it was mistranslated as moon. It was by implication, and we know anything that is implied upon something, it doesn't fit. It's not even the definition of the word or the name itself, but it has to be implied. Mm-hmm. Like we say that Jesus means anointed of, God's salvation. That's how they say it. Jesus means God's salvation, or the salvation of God. But they have to imply it, because nowhere in that name or that word, Jesus, broken down, whether in Latin or Hebrew or anything, does it mean Yahuwah is salvation? It has to be implied, because it's not a name that you can get anything from other than, well, sus, the S-U-S in Hebrew means horse. So, he's coming back, but he's riding a horse. He'll be riding a Jesus.
Yep.
So yeah, there's a lot of things in there, and not just sticking to one version or translation. You know, like your friend that was saying, well, I've read the Bible 100 times. Well, which one? Which ones? You know?
Correct.
That's my question to a lot of people. You can read the same one 100 times. Yeah, you'll get something new out of it every time. But are we really looking at what we're reading? Are we testing that
Correct.
Even?
Correct.
And it's really interesting. It was an eye-opener for me when I discovered that Yusha and the disciples, they quoted from the Septuagint, or from whatever line that Septuagint is based off of, came from. They're quoting from that codice, not from the Masoretic that we have in our King James and 99.9% of our Biblios logos that we have printed out today.
Correct.
We have amalgamations. The Sefer is an amalgamation of a little bit of Septuagint mixed in there. Psalms 40. Verse 6 is one. That is actually from the Septuagint, where he says, a body thou hast made for me. Isaiah 61, that Yusha reads from, that's accounted in Luke chapter 4:18. He's reading from the Septuagint. If you go back and look in your Isaiah 61, if it doesn't say recovery of sight to the blind, it's not from the Septuagint line. But Yusha says that, of recovery of sight to the blind, and that's one of the prophecies, promises as well. As it said, not in any time in any of our history has anybody taken a man that was born blind and given him sight. And they're talking
Correct.
About the Messiah. So this is,
Correct.
Yeah. There's a lot.
And then I've had some people say spiritual, they were spiritually blind. Some people say, you know, some assemblies and crap, they say, well, it was spiritual blindness. There is, because they were walking in sin or whatever. And I'm like, oh, man.
Well, they ought to know. They're the ones keeping people in spiritual blindness. That's
yep.
churchianity. They're under a curse mm-hmm. for being in there. They really
yep.
are cursed. They need to come out from under. They need to come out. There isn't one church out of all the churches in Asia there in the seven in Revelation that doesn't end with come out of her, or excuse me, not come out of her, but overcome. Because everybody in that church, you need to overcome it. And for those that overcome that church, that's in that church, to him I will grant to eat from the tree of life. To him I will grant to sit on my throne next to me. You know, let the person who hears, you know, understand. Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It doesn't say to that church, but it says to all the churches, yeah. I ran into somebody here a while back that had that excuse. Well, Philadelphia wasn't reprimanded. Oh, yes, they were, right afterwards. And we know that by reading through it. All they had was the second commandment, brotherly love, which is what Philadelphia means. They did not preach the first commandment, which is hear, O Israel. Yahuwah, your Elohim, is one, and you will worship him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and all of your strength. They did not have that, which is interesting. I mean, when a person realizes that, it's like, oh, yeah, he did reprimand all seven of them. And what's interesting, like in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he admits it right there to Timothy. He says, I've been kicked out of all the churches of Asia, kicked out of every single one of them, kicked to the curb. They don't have anything to do with me anymore. Woe is me. Yeah, hey Blake, you remember reading in Acts where Paul comes into Jerusalem, and he comes in amongst the disciples or the apostles there, and it says that they were all afraid of him?
I think so. They didn't understand. Yeah, they were all afraid of him. Yep.
Yeah, that's a bad translation, because they weren't afraid of their lives to death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They
were just like, who the heck is this, pretty much?
They didn't believe him. They did not believe a word that came out of his mouth.
Correct.
Of course, they didn't recognize him either. He hadn't spent any of the time with them during the whole ministry.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't a witness.
Yeah, because they were like, where'd you come from, buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm an apostle ordained out here in the desert. And we know from Yeshua's words, like he says, if they say to you, I'm in the desert, believe them not. They tell you I'm in the secret chambers, you know, don't believe them.
And then that's right. And then, you know, then everything adds up. Again, it's just hard to figure. You got to unlearn the lies, and that's one of the harder things to do in a sense, but you got to. I mean, people have to. And things don't make sense. Write them down and come back to them, and they will someday.
I just share with people what worked for me. It's like you said, we're coming at it coming into truth from different angles and different areas of walks of life, and we're learning things that maybe our neighbor didn't learn, but we're learning something that he's going to learn eventually, and now he's learning something that we're going to learn eventually. You know, whether they're a square or a triangle or moving or whatever, or if Paul is truly an apostle.
I'm
going to
say enclosure. I'm
going to
use that now. So I'm going to say we live in an enclosure, and that's it. Because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because then nobody uses that. So, hey, forget the words that they, the flat earthers, enclosure earthers. How about that? We live in an enclosure. That's it.
Yeah.
Then they're going to be like, oh, this guy's really the office rocker. Well, oh, well.
Yeah. I'll send you that, too. Maybe you already have it. There's 250 verses that deal with the shape and the motion of the earth that are in Scripture.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Only a handful.
I didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's only four or five that could go either way. And those are the ones that the ballers pick on. The spherical letters pick on.
Yeah, they'll send it to you, and it's like, oh, my gosh, seriously? It's like, all right, man. And they always have the KJV stamp on there somehow, and when they copied and pasted it, I'm like, okay. It sucks, but again, not everybody's, I don't even have words. I just got to wait and see and just enjoy the show and keep seeking truth.
If they know what their lies are defending, who they are defending when they parrot the lies over and over again. Makes me feel bad. I mean, do you realize how many people are lying? Oh, yeah, I read Scripture. I read the Bible. Or I read the Bible, you know, is a favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how come you don't know what I just said? It's like Yeshua with the Nicodemus. You don't know, aren't you a master of all of Israel? And you don't know, he doesn't say that I'm quoting Enoch. He just says, you don't know what I'm talking about? Same kind of thing. It's like, how can you say something, but you don't know what I'm talking about?
So again, I'd rather not say anything and just learn, or if I do know, it's better just to clarify. And then, because I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to say something wrong, and then I'd rather be nothing at all than wrong.
Then you're liable. Yeah, no, if you do say something, it's like James says, you're liable. You put yourself in the position of a teacher then, and if you're not teaching correctly, teachers are held at a higher account.
Correct.
Than just the average followers of the way. We definitely need to be very thoughtful and even repent when we find out we're wrong. It's like we got to go back and tell people, hey, did I tell you this? I said this a while back and I was wrong. Please forgive me.
Yeah, that's why Facebook is kind of one of the things that it's a gift and it's a bad thing. It's good and bad to it, but I'm at the point where pretty much anytime I've talked about the truth, the true names and stuff, I had some guy threaten me over the phone. I've had like witchcraft people trying to add me and all kinds of crap. Yeah, and I'm just like, he goes, I want to know what you learned all this stuff, and I said, sure, man. I set up a call and we started talking, and then he was listening. Then he kind of just starts talking, and he goes, you know that you're gonna get judgment and all this, you know, he started saying these horrible things to me, and I'm like you, I was like, you have not answered my question. Like I talked for 5 minutes and then you just come at me saying that, and then I sent him all this truth and he blocked me, and he like threatened me. So I was like, and then I started getting all these things, witchcraft people starting to try to add me, and they do those candle burnings and stuff, and I'm like, what in the heck? But I honestly chill now. I mean, I just I feel like I just throw the name out there, and in certain areas, kind of like plant seeds or plant rocks or whatever you want to call it, just and then people people will say, ask something, or they'll just like it. And who am I to, you know, some people are, can't think of scripture, who am I to go against what he's already done? Like, it may not be written on their heart. It may not, we can't force it on people. So even if we force it on somebody, they still won't believe. Even if they say they believe, they still won't do it, because they can agree about the name, but it's still not written on their heart. They're still not ready, or it's not their time, or they're just not, they're never going to be ready. Or I don't know, you know. I'm not one to say what's going on, but all I can do is try to keep my cup clean and filled with a decent oil, and, you know, and that's all I can try to do every day. But definitely exposing this crap. But one thing about it, one of the things that hurts me, is that everybody doesn't understand that the bio war is not just the mask, the vaccine, and the test. It's actually all the nanoparticles in the water and the air, and those can change
food.
DNA as well. Yeah.
And more the meat. Did you see that thing with the magnet sticking to meat?
Oh yeah, no,
red
I've
meat.
Been yeah. I think me and you were the first people to start posting about it on Facebook.
Oh yeah, okay.
And people, my family's like, oh, and they make fun of me, and I'm just like, all right, like, and then next thing you know, Peggy Boozer is actually a friend on Facebook. She tried it in the store. She took a magnet and stuck on one of the meats, and she texted me on there, and I was laughing. I was like, man, like, you just don't know who you'll touch. But this is way deeper than anybody understands.
This mRNA stuff is not new. They've been trying
to get
into us by any means for many years. They've needed a scare tactic like this BS that's going on now. I don't know if you read that PDF, that 12-page PDF I sent to you the other day, I think, through Messenger, and it's from a world-renowned prize, Nobel Prize-winning virologist who's not on the take from any government, and he is actually opening up lawsuits. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Polonese. Yeah.
Oh, I know, man. That got me because I was even fooled, because when I first found out about the vaccine in early 2020, I started letting everybody know then that it was the mark, or that it was something really bad, and nobody listened. Honestly, like maybe one person, and then the PCR test got me, because I was like, how can they back? And then I found a picture of people vaccinating cows with those PCR tests. And so that was my proof. I'm like, here it is. And then I started finding the fibers and the Morgellons. And, it's freaking insane. But and people get sent that test kit. That's like a $100 kit or more. And they get sent for free to do it. And I'm like, my uncle did it. And then he sent me the results. And then guess who checked the results? A neurologist. I'm like, and I told my other uncle, I said, if it wasn't a setup, I said, why would a neurologist check for bacteria or for a virus? And because he probably just owns the whole place. And I'm like, sure, like, come on, man. Like, he's keeping track of all the brains that they're I don't know what the heck, honestly, ultimately what they're implanting or doing, but something's going on.
Well, he's a neurologist and you're beneath him. I've met a few neurologists like that, and when you finally get them to come out and say what they know, they say, I went to school for 12 years to tell you that we really don't know that much about the brain. End of story right there. They don't even do, they're not, the ones that I've met that are practicing, they're all practicing, by the way, like lawyers.
Yeah,
they're all,
I know,
practicing law. They're practicing pharmakia, or they call it medicine.
Yep. Practice makes perfect.
Well, the ones that I've met, they don't do what they should do. For people that are having, like, seizures, for instance, if they weren't born with having seizure issues, but all of a sudden they come up upon them in their older years, you know, in their adult, something's not right. Something has changed. But
it's metals, it's vaccine. Yeah, it's metals, vaccines,
food.
It's something that was, food, they have triggers,
food.
And prions are in the meat and stuff. So that's the thing, is that, and that's the main thing right now, is that metal is not in people's bodies, and that's what's really taking people out. That's why I'm doing the metal detox. I got to actually do one today.
Excellent.
Pretty much trying to do every day, because we just don't. I was outside, and when I breathe out, I feel better inside because I got air filters and stuff. But they put probably stuff in the air filters, so we just don't know.
It's
one of those things.
Yeah.
All right, brother. I'm gonna get going, and
okay.
We need to talk again you know, I'll definitely be there for next Shabbat. And then anytime you if you ever want to talk or anything, I'll definitely give you my feedback on this because I'm kind of curious. If you have time to send it over or the link or whatever.
I will. Yeah, I'll send that later today after the show. I'll send that to you.
All right, brother,
Nazarene X. Okay. Blake, good to hear from you. Have a good Shabbat. Shalom, brother.
You too. Shalom.
Take care.
All right. Shalom.
Bye.
Hey, I just got
hey, Rachel.
Coverage back. Hey.
Oh, that's excellent. Good timing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you lost us for a little while, huh?
I did.
That's kind of weird. They've been putting up these cell towers everywhere. I guess they're not finished yet.
I know. I don't know.
Suppose
maybe my provider's not everywhere. I don't know.
Well, I have to deal with almost a monopoly up here in our area. Verizon's the only one that comes clear everywhere in the North Idaho area.
Right.
It's unfortunate. I wish I could find a better, less expensive provider. So how's the weather down there? You guys still getting a bunch of rain?
It was a lot of rain during the week where I was in the mountains, and 120% humidity, which made its way into the tents. So our stuff got soaking wet even when it was protected. It was crazy. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to.
Moisture.
Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, that's neat. You guys got to. You and Olivia got to go spend some time in the mountains, huh? Doing some camping.
Yes, we did.
Excellent. That's neat. And it was raining in New Mexico, in the mountains of New Mexico, huh? Wow.
Yes.
I mean, I know it rains there, but that's just amazing that it'd be raining pretty the whole week that you're there.
I know.
We had one day here last week where it started raining about 4:30 in the morning. Just drip, 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 dribble, drip, drip, and kind of did that till about 10 o'clock, and then it cleared up. But I think it's weather manipulation. What they were really trying to do is get some dry lightning started around here. That's the only reason why we had some thunderstorms come through. But
right.
They've really been trying to set us on fire around here. I caught a fire. I called in and reported a fire. It was just 2 miles from our property. Yeah, it was started on the side of the highway. And Lindsay was driving. She has her driver's permit now. And I was like, Lindsay, pull over quick. She pulled over to the right. And I got over to out of the car and just looked around. There was like 6 spots where there was fire burning on the grass, but there was no wind. And here I am in some shorts and sandals getting ready to stomp out a fire. Instead, I called it in. The fire department was only about three miles away then at the time when I called it in. And they had it put out. It still took them a couple of hours. And after we drove off and when I came back, it had already gone up the hill and into some bushes. And I can imagine if the fire department hadn't have been there when it got into the bushes. It's so tinder dry around here. And by the time they got there and started fighting the fire, the wind had kicked up. So it was perfect timing. It was really good timing. We could have had a huge fire up here. And it was caused by man.
You hear the choo-choo train?
I do hear the choo-choo.
We're going to Clovis, New Mexico, and there's a choo-choo train right next to us.
It's loud.
Freedomizer radio routine prank callers on the air wanting to ask a question, but I haven't been able to trust him yet to stay within our rules and regulations on air, so I believe I'll leave that one on mute.
Oh, I see your text here. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, might as well. So no,
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
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 Shabbat shalom.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Shalom. Hey, I was listening to the other guy talking. It was really interesting. And I heard you mention you're from Northern Idaho, or someone is?
Yes. Yeah, that's where I am.
Obviously, this is not why I'm calling in. I hope you don't mind. But I used to live in Libby, and I spent tons of time in Bonner's Ferry, Sandpoint, Coeur d'Alene, that whole area. I love the panhandle of Idaho. I would drive out of Montana every chance I could get to go to Idaho.
I don't blame you. I love that route, too. When I go to Whitefish, visit some friends at Whitefish, I'll go up through Bonner's Ferry or cut across from Sandpoint is my favorite, over to Clark Fork, and then come right up to Libby, between Libby and like Crown Lumber there. Bullhead, that Bull River Valley, Bull Lake. Oh, I love that area in Montana.
Yeah, right by Troy. It's a really great area. So you mentioned Northern Idaho. So, yeah, sorry, that's not why I called in, although I could talk about that area all day. But what I thought was interesting, because one thing is, you know, I lived in Asia for 4 years. And not so much in Japan, but you would see that, because you talked about swastikas, you would see swastikas everywhere. Not literally everywhere, but you would see them, and it's jarring to see a swastika, but it's such a Buddhist, it's a Buddhist symbol, and there's a lot of Buddhists, there's more Buddhists in, at least from what I can tell, more Buddhists in Korea than there were in Japan, and you could even get, by jewelry with swastikas. Even McDonald's would give up, you sometimes get Happy Meal swastika stickers, which it was interesting. And I just thought the evolution of how people see symbols and how that changes over time. And there's a very real corollary is how people see the Confederate flag. You know, what is the original meaning versus what does it mean now? And where
it's
do you
Scotland.
Go from there?
Yeah, it's
Scotland?
Actually a Scottish banner. Yeah, it's from Scotland. And it is about freedom.
Oh, the flag. Oh, the Scottish flag. I thought you meant something else.
Which is called a Confederate flag. We call it the Confederate flag here in the States, but it's actually a symbol of freedom that comes out of Scotland.
Well, when you look at it's not what I do for a living, but I studied in college many years, migration throughout the United States. Through language, how language changes, and the reason why the Southern accent is so different is because it comes from northern part of Great Britain, Northern England, Scotland. So that's interesting, mm-hmm. since there were a lot of Scottish down there. I'm sure there's probably a connection.
Yeah, there sure is.
So,
that's neat. You studied morphology.
It was very interesting, and you can actually, you know, a good example, fall, for example. Do you say fall or autumn?
Fall, most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, fall is actually the older word. That is not a word that Americans made up. Fall is the older word. Autumn is the newer word, but for whatever reason in the United States and in Canada, we just always said fall. We never said autumn, but in England, they started saying autumn, but we were already established over here. And then as, you know, migration went from England to Australia to New Zealand, South Africa, that's why they say autumn and we don't. So that is just absolutely fascinating. It always has been. That's way off. What I wanted to call in for. So I was wondering, who do you think better at sucking cock, Jesus or God? Because I couldn't make up my mind. Who's better at sucking dick, God or Jesus? Like, if someone were to suck your dick, who would you want it to be, Jesus or God?
Told you he was
our friend
of ours or caller.
Yeah.
Aaron.
Yeah.
He's a wannabe actor out in Hollywood, so
Okay. I got you.
Her full involvement stuff, yeah. He apparently can't get enough work. They call his Freedomizer and Frank's Freedomizer, so.
Well, why don't you just say I'm an atheist? or agnostic. I don't know anything. I can't figure out anything on my own. I'm totally clueless. I'm agnostic. I could appreciate that, you know. But, yeah.
He doesn't have any new lines either. That's pretty much what he always says.
I guess it's perplexing
him.
You have to save that number for me and share it with me next time you need me to run the show for you. I thought I might have heard something from you this last week, but I'm glad you're able to be here. I always get nervous when you ask me to run the show for you.
Yeah, I missed you last week.
Yeah, and the week before that, I think I missed 3 Sabbaths in a row with you guys. Yeah, I really missed you guys. When the first Sabbath I missed with you, it was kind of spotty hit and miss with the service out there. You might get one bar or whatever when we were up north on the river. But we were invited to a gathering, and it was a Hebrew roots, Messianic-type gathering. And, boy, I've got some stories, traditional things that went on during that gathering that just would make you want to gag. But what was neat was that we actually had a conversation about it, about quite a few things there. What's interesting what came about it was the gatherings have been called off, and I believe it was because of that one. The questions that were brought up, it's like, why are you asking us to stand up and face east and say the Almeida, or half of the Almeida, which is... actually is a curse. And the question was, why are you having us stand up and face east? Why are you asking everybody to face east? Well, it's a traditional thing to face Jerusalem from wherever you're at. But the topic that came out of that, the subject topic that came out of that was really neat, and it had to do with how the temple was originally created and how Solomon because we're actually supposed to, if we face anywhere, we face north. If anything, but there was a gate that was being built in Solomon's temple, and it was the north gate, the north entrance, but it was sealed off after all was completed. It was sealed off because there was a man putting in the headstone above the doorway, and the headstone fell on him and crushed his skull, and his name was Hiram Abiff. Hiram Abiff. That's that name. Just remember that name. You'll see it a lot in occult and Freemason writing. There's actually a ritual, and they drink from the skull of Hiram Abiff. But that whole north, there's even a seat that's in the north part of the Masonic temples that remains empty. There's quite a big story behind that. It's really interesting. And they're afraid of that seat in the north too.
Very interesting.
It is. I think I sent that to on our group, our messenger group that we have there. I sent that part of that topic to somebody who was asking. I can't remember if it was Blaze or I think it was. Somebody was asking about it, and I said, "You got to read this. It's really interesting." That it's in Freemason lore, and they're afraid of it. But there's a friend of mine that sent it to me. Interesting stuff to read. But that whole tidbit about the north gate of Solomon's temple being sealed off because of what happened to Hiram Abiff. So how far are you guys from home now?
Well, I wish I knew how far Clovis is to Lubbock, but I'm really not sure. I'm not sure if it's an hour or 2 hours. I'm not positive.
Oh, so you're getting closer.
I mean, we're just leaving Clovis, yes.
I can't even remember where Lubbock is. I'd have to look it up on a map.
Yeah, it's in West Texas. Now that I have service, I guess I can look it up. But let's see, Mule Shoe is 20 miles from here. We are just entering Texas right now.
Woohoo!
And Mule Shoe is 45 minutes from me, so I'm about an hour. Okay, it says Lubbock, 88 miles. About an hour and 20-ish minutes.
What's the, have they raised the speed limits down there for you guys? It's 80 miles an hour in Montana on Interstate 90
oh,
now
wow.
during the day. Yeah, oh, and nobody does 80. Nobody does 80. You know, everybody's doing 90 to 100 during
whoa.
The daylight hours. It's funny. The highway patrol still pulls people over, though, and gives them tickets if they're in a beater, you know, doing 80 miles an hour. You shouldn't be doing 80
uh-huh.
miles an hour in this type of car. It's pretty funny. Still give them warnings. So, yeah, so that you're about an hour.
I think you're profiling.
Profiling, yeah. So was this part of a scout outing that you were on?
Yes. It
okay.
was.
She the whole did. Troop go or a bunch of troops?
Well, so this was an overflow from the council. We went to summer camp with her troop 2 weeks ago, and then they had a council summer troop summer camp last week, and there were 150 kids that went, and there were so many that they couldn't accommodate all of them, so they opened up a new summer camp for another week, and there were supposed to be another something like 50 to 70 kids coming, including one troop with 9 kids, and they were going to put together a Maverick troop, which would be kids that wanted to come to summer camp, but their troop wasn't coming. So they were going to make a troop out of those kids and call them the Maverick troop. And so Olivia was going to be a part of that because our troop doesn't go to the council summer camp because they make their own. So
mm-hmm.
we got there, and we were the only ones in the Maverick troop, and there was only one other troop that showed up. So 10 kids had the entire Tres Ritos campground all to themselves, and it was honestly the best camp that I've ever been to. I can't imagine
like
that it was worth it financially for them to hold it, but they said they didn't dream of canceling it for a minute, so that was good. And one of the merit badges she got was called Wilderness Survival, and she had to spend a night down in a meadow with a makeshift tent that she made herself, and I decided to do the same, and so that was interesting. Of course, we didn't talk or anything while I was down there. We're on opposite sides, so she didn't have mom to lean on or anything, but that was interesting to be able to sleep out without an actual zipped up tent, and especially when you heard coyotes in that meadow the very night before.
It was so fun.
Yipping and howling and everything. So
it is fun. That's one of my favorite merit badges that I would do.
I got to see them because they did a cobbler cook-off that night, and I decided, and everyone else went to bed, but I decided to hang out with some friends that were staffers, and all of a sudden, everyone was just hearing barking, and one of my staffer friends thought it was a stray dog that got into the camp, so he was going to go get it out, and they were like, no, it's coyotes. He was like, I know.
the
next day,
coyotes.
He was like, I didn't know. The next day. Hmm. So you've done the merit badge before?
Yes. In fact, I was an instructor of it a couple of times. And I taught wilderness survival out at the Fairchild Air Force Base to guys that were old enough to join the military when I wasn't. Yeah, that's my wilderness survival is one of my favorite things. I love it. The one thing that in my training, though, I was never trained as a vegetarian or a vegan, how to survive as a vegan in the wilderness.
Right.
I would have to teach everybody what I was taught, how to snare small game and how to capture game and a few of the the indigenous plants for the area. But my wilderness survival training was not to survive for long periods of time, but rather to just get by to a period of time where you could be rescued. But I would love to get more involved with living for the rest of your life out in the wilderness, away from the big cities and things like that. You know, be able to sustain yourself and know what's good, what times of year things grow, and how long they can, how to save them through the winter time. Or that's really what I want to learn more of. I wish I knew more about the mushrooms.
I don't think that the world would be in the shape that it is in currently.
Right. We wouldn't be so worried about having street smarts now, would we?
Correct. And all of the mass manipulation that goes on. Mass media manipulation would be a dinosaur.
Yeah. Yeah, or we've been raised to be reliant on the system, you know. Have to go earn some Caesar's mammon and take your Caesar's mammon down to the grocery store and buy yourself some food. When we should be growing it ourselves.
Another merit badge she worked on that was a partial for her, there was a guy from Oklahoma, an old-timey scout, and he set up his own orienteering course just for fun.
Yeah.
And Olivia's the only one that worked it. And it was one of the requirements for something that she has a partial in, orienteering. And so another part of it was to make her own 2,000-foot course, then teach others, and then participate in two other orienteering events. So she made her own course and put a code in it, so every time you found a new location, there was a letter there that you had to write down. So you could prove that you did it because you would know the code. And so she combined a little bit of coding with it. And then he just loved that. He just had so much rapport and fun with that. And then he set up two other assignments for her based on the map that they had of the campground. She had to use the declination for the true north and then determine if the camps were correctly oriented on the map. And then they had moved the flagpole the previous week, and so she had to determine using triangulation where the new flagpole needed to go. So that was lots of fun.
That's neat.
That
sounds
was
like
fun.
You got your badge, your orienteering badge. That was one of the things I had to do too, was set up the course.
She's done all the hard stuff. What's that?
Yeah. Oh, that was one of the things that they had me doing, too, was setting up the orienteering courses. I actually love to do that. Yeah, I love to do those.
Yep.
We'd take a Ziploc and a paper plate and fold it in half and write a message on the inside. Yeah, a little short message. And that way you'd know if somebody actually finished that leg and found what they were looking for.
Mm-hmm. She used orange tagging tape and a Sharpie. And then she spelled out Minnie Bear's house. So because apparently chipmunks have a nickname called Minnie Bears. And so they have chipmunks, not squirrels out there. So the mini bear's house is the whole entire camp, of course. So that's what she came up with for her code. So
that's cute.
Anyway,
yeah. We have chipmunks around here, and the squirrels they call tree rats.
And they have pack rats there too that apparently will confiscate things as big as a brush and a whole roll of paper towels, like take off with it. And they're real cute. In the morning, they would, when we would start the fire, they would come and hug the brick and try and get warm. It was ridiculous.
Oh, weird. Did you get some pictures of them?
I did not get pictures of the pack rat, unfortunately. I did get pictures of the mini bears and the rabbits, so, and video.
Mini bears.
You.
That's cute. Mini bears. With their little three stripes, we call them road racers up here. Their little SS stripes going down their back. Yeah, little road racers.
It was so funny because the Sappers did a skit the first night, and one of the Sappers kept running around and said, it's around me, like, look around you, my belt. And the second one was,
Yeah.
It's around me.
I'm laughing at a dumb joke. You must be a scout.
Yeah. Yeah. I got one for you. Oh.
What?
I got one for you. This is how you can tell what kind of bear is chasing you. I might have told you this. I can't remember. Did I tell you that? The one how you can tell what kind of bear is chasing you?
No.
If you're running and running. Bear's chasing you, and you're running and running, and you climb up a tree, and the bear climbs up the tree after you, it's a black bear. If you're running and running and climb up a tree, and the bear shakes you out of the tree, it's a brown bear, a grizzly bear. If you're running and running and running and can't find a tree, it's a polar bear.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And the second one was,
if you're running and running and the bear is running from you, it's a mini bear.
It's a mini bear. A mini bear. That's
like,
cute. I've never heard that.
Like, they're after me. Like, what's after you? The mini bear. Why? They think I'm nuts.
Think I'm nuts. Yeah. That's a good one. Well, it sounds like you guys had a good time. That's neat. Did it rain on you when you were doing your overnight in the lean-to?
Fortunately, no. But it rained the next night and the night before. And the night we did the wilderness survival, it was a bright full moon, so we didn't even need flashlights.
Nope.
Oh, perfect.
We got really lucky.
What a blessing. That's cool. That's great. Really
and the worst thing that got in bed with me was a worm.
A worm?
A worm?
Yeah, I noticed some kind of little worm along my cot. You know, but I guess it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, could have been a rattler trying to get warm. Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe. Yeah.
Let's see, there's... Well, Rachel, I see you got a little more than a minute.
Oh, we just got the 90-second warning, Aaron. You have a blessed rest of your Shabbat. Feel free to call me later tonight if you'd like. Thanks for joining us, those that tuned in. And I hope your day is wonderful and a blessing. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next Shabbat.
Yeah. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.